play by play.
Action at home or away.
Local sports favorites are here on the Breeze 94.5.
Use your pen when you get done. Come on, that one. Oh, this one.
Hi again, everyone. It's playoff time in Central Nebraska. We're at a D2 matchup. It's Dorchester's Longhorns coming to town to take on the Giltner Hornets. Giltner does not have the lineup of last year. We've done that story to death, but they've reloaded with a very, very capable and talented set of ball players. And the story has been told about most of the all-time yardage leading quarterback and Shea Hendricks, his favorite receiver from a year ago. They're gone, but they've come along and changed their game plan a little bit and switched to a running game, or I should say not switched, but emphasized a little bit more on the ground this year. And so the success is still there. They're in the playoffs. State champions in 71, state champions in 84, 2009 state runners-up. The pedigree is there for Giltner. For Dorchester, not quite the pedigree, not quite the record over the last several years, although some of their losses of late have been of a closer nature. And the way that they have come in here after the 2010 football regular season is to say that they have won, and when they won, their margins, of course, were much closer than have been Giltner's. Collectively, Giltner has put a ton of points on the board, but not a whole lot for their opponents. And the collective margins, 61-12 for Giltner, 31-23, the average score. The average margin and score for the Longhorns from Dorchester. I'm joined tonight by Gene Beerbohm, who is the perennial addition to our cast here when we get lots and lots of ball games during the playoffs. You heard Blaine Bulis earlier in the day with a Kennesaw win. You heard Mike Will earlier in the day with the St. Cecilia win. Doug Duda, Tony Davis, our Minden, and the Kearney Catholic Blue Hill game on ESPN is Randy Bushcutter. And so with that, we've got a full lineup of sports coverage here on your Platte River radio station. So I'll tell you what we're going to do is on this pregame, as usual, take a short break and come back with the coaches. The coaches are Brent Zubek, co-coaches Brent Zubek and Ryan Volker. For Dorchester, Rob Osman, my normal sidekick, interviewed the coaches earlier today, and we'll hear from the visitors from Dorchester, Brent Zubek in particular, coming up after this timeout. You're listening to the New Tech pregame report on The Breeze, 94.5 FM and KLIQFM.com on the World Wide Web.
There's nothing more American than football. Advantage Chevrolet sacks the competition with savings. Advantage Chevrolet, 1111 M Street in Aurora. The first place you think of, the last place you'll stop.
This is Bob Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk anniversary sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan, where you get savings and service.
New Tech is proud to support high school sports. New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Welcome back to your New Tech Seed pregame show. Rob Osman with you. Joining us now, the visiting Dorchester Longhorns head coach. In his fifth year, it's Coach Ryan Volker. Coach, thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
Guys, got a big game coming up here, but you have to look back to last year. What an improvement from a 2-6 team to a 4-4 team. You're in the playoffs. That has to be a big shot in the arm for you guys.
Oh, yeah, we're excited. Kids are excited. We ended the season last year with a win, which was great, brought some things together, kind of built on that, and just had a pretty good season. We know we even should have had a little bit better season, but some things, part of the game of execution doesn't always hold true, so it's part of the game. But we're still happy, and we're really, really excited to have another game.
Give us an idea, Coach, since many of us out here have not been able to see or hear the what the Longhorns do. Give us an idea on the backbone of your team. What's the strength of your ball club?
Well, defense has been pretty solid. Got a solid DB core, and defensive line has worked hard this year and just brought it together well. Offensively, we'd like to balance it up, and you know, throughout the season, because of whatever reason, we've had different guys in different positions and done an okay job of executing different looks, you know, just whatever it might be, whether we're missing a quarterback or missing a running back or whatever, we just make adjustments and go with what the best look we can come up with.
I was going to say, it looks pretty good because you guys, you've got a lot of guys that have stepped up to the occasion and have been able to fill those roles and get you here into the playoffs. The downside is you're coming in to face a Giltner team that you guys haven't seen. You've faced a couple of common opponents, but is it kind of a handicap or kind of a tough thing coming in to face an undefeated Giltner ball club that you really haven't seen?
Oh, we know it'll be a tough game for sure, and, I mean, we're still excited for it. It was fun to prepare, and the kids are excited. It's playoffs, and you play the game, and our goal is definitely eight guys, and we've said it all year, eight guys doing what they need to be doing on the field and not making mistakes. So that's definitely execution is the word. You hear it all the time in football because it's the name of the game.
Well, absolutely. And, Coach, you know, we talked about it earlier about how you've had a lot of people fill in different positions. What you've come up with are, at least on paper and on surface, you've got at least three guys that can step up to that running back position and give a different look each and every time you're facing the solid Giltner defense. You've got Colton Casper, Sid Stern, and Russ Barrick, just to name a few.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we have Alec Lisek back this year or this week too. He's been injured, so we've got even another one to add to that. Hopefully,
that's a lot of threats going to rely on. Not too many seniors on your squad, but who has to step up and be that player to set this tone and to show that the you know Dorchester can hang with Giltner.
Well, our quarterback Brandon Schwizo needs to lead us. He is the general out on the field, and then our offensive line just has to play well, and they've been doing a good job all year. There's no reason they won't, and so that's where it's definitely going to be anchored at is right there.
Offensively, Coach, what do you have to do to stand up, and is there anyone on that Giltner defense that or the Giltner ball club that jumps out at you that you've had to make some changes or some plans to get around?
Oh, I mean, it's just been a general attack that we've come up with, and we just got to make things, keep it mixed and hide what we can offensively, and then defensively, yeah, we know what weapons they've got and what they're going to bring, and we just got to step up and do it.
What's been the attitude of the club, you know, going into this big this playoff game? I mean, it seemed like perhaps it was going to be a reach for you, especially after the last game lost to Exeter Milligan, mm-hmm. and now making it into the playoffs. What's been the attitude of the team, you know, to get ready for this?
Well, we found out for sure on Saturday. We had practice on Sunday, of course, and yeah, attitude was good. Everybody was happy to go and play at least one more game, you know, and playoffs is a big deal. It hasn't happened since 06, our first year here, and so it was exciting. I think everybody was really glad to be playing a game again, and that's where it starts, because if you have a bad attitude, you're already in the gutter.
Yeah, well, absolutely, and you know what? There are a lot of teams that aren't playing today, but you guys are. You're stepping up. You're playing this 8-0 Giltner team that was the runner-up last year in the state championship, and it looks like a tough row. How do you motivate your team to go against this playoff-experienced ball club?
Well, we just talked about we've got to execute, not make mistakes, and you just never know. You still play the game, and it is a great opportunity to play another game in the season. And so you just got to love playing the game. We talked about that even after the loss last Friday, that, you know, hopefully we do make it in and attitude will be good because we get to play an awesome game. That's an opportunity, and that's you got to take advantage of it because you only have so many snaps in your life.
Isn't that the truth? And it stays with you the rest of your life. So at least you got it on the opening day of the playoffs. Coach, we certainly wish you the best of luck, and thanks for spending a little time with us.
Bet. Thanks a lot.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go over to the other side and get a word with the head coach of Giltner. You're listening to the New Tech Seed Pregame Show on The Breeze, 94.5, KLIQFM.com.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Giltner and all the Giltner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Giltner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
At Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, we have always taken pride in serving the community and supporting area athletics. And we're celebrating 50 years of a winning tradition of commitment to bringing you service and hometown values. Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, downtown Aurora. Go Hornets!
In Giltner, stop by and see your friendly insurance agents at Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw Insurance specializes in crop, farm, property, and casualty. For a free consultation, stop by the Giltner office or give them a call. Robert Shaw Insurance.
Todd's Body and Glass in Aurora is your collision repair specialist, is proud to support the Giltner Hornets. Play well and be proud from Todd's Body and Glass.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed Pregame Show. Rob Osman with you. Joining us now, head coach of the Giltner Hornets, Coach Jeff Ashby. Thanks so much for joining us, Coach.
Thank you, Rob.
First of all, I guess congratulations on a perfect 8-0 season. This was supposed to be, or we thought it was going to be, a rebuilding year for you. Yet here you are now, back into the playoffs with an unblemished record and ready to get into another playoff run. That's got to be a great feeling for you guys.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. You know, I told the boys the other day that, you know, this is the only fourth team in school history to go undefeated in the regular season. So, I thought that was a pretty good accomplishment for them.
Well, I tell you, it's come as a result of a real team effort. I mean, you've got a lot of standout players that have done very well as expected, but really the whole team has pulled together. How does this team compare with last year's team, for example?
Well, I think we're overall a better football team across the board. You know, we've got a little bit more experience than we did a year ago. Another year of understanding our offense better than we did a year ago. So, and also our defense has really stepped up and played really hard and great games. They haven't got a lot of team time, you know, because, you know, we're usually got the game in hand by halftime, so they don't get to play much in the second half. But, you know, our varsity has done a great job on the defensive side of the ball. Has hardly given up any points at all this year.
Well, and I tell you, all that kind of changes tonight as we get into the playoffs. And now you're up against this Dorchester Longhorn team, a team that you guys haven't seen, perhaps, but on one piece of film, right?
Right, yep. This is kind of a change from last year. Last year, three out of our first four playoff games were rematches from the season. And this year, we'll go through the playoffs and not play anybody that we played during the regular season. So that's kind of nice and to go in knowing that and somebody new, you know. So the kids are excited about that. And Dorchester, what we see on film is they play hard, you know, from whistle to whistle and from start of the game to the end of the game. So, you know, they're not going to come in here and just lay down.
Well, they're a vastly improved team. I mean, they went from 2-6 last year to 4-4 this year and played some solid ball clubs, like you say, all the way down to the wire. Having only seen them in one game, does that give you as a coach a little bit of a challenge?
Oh, not usually. You know, that it just what coaches do on film, you know, what you see on film is pretty much what they're going to do in the game. They might add a few wrinkles here or there that you don't see that might catch you on, you know, by surprise a little bit. But for the most part, teams are going to do what they do best throughout the game. So, you know, and I'm sure he sees the same thing on us, you know, so it should be okay.
On your side of the field, Coach, give me an idea. Have you changed up anything? Have you tried to adjust your game plan to battling the Longhorns?
No, we're going out the same game plan we always do, you know, run our offense. And, we've got a little bit of the playbook we haven't shown all year yet and haven't had to show. So, you know, we'll see tonight if, you know, Dorchester comes in tonight and gives us struggles. You know, we might have to pull out some other plays, but it should be a good night for us.
Give me an idea, Coach, on how you can talk to your kids or how you've spoken with them about the idea of not looking past the Longhorns and not looking at a deeper run into the playoffs, but taking one game at a time. How do you instill that in them?
Well, we do talk about that because, you know, we talk about being one and done in the playoffs. It, you know, you don't get past this one, you know, the next one doesn't mean anything. So we're just taking this game, you know, by itself, And we've been looking forward to the playoffs for quite a while and get into them. And our guys haven't played, you know, a four-quarter game for quite some time. So, you know, I told them the other day that we're going to stay in as long as we can possibly stay in this. And they'll probably get four quarters in tonight and Dorchester will make them work for it. Because, like I said on film, you can see in the film that they've been in that they don't let up.
Well, we talked about this last year, too, Coach, about your players and getting ready for the playoff. Have you sensed anything from your players that this is all building towards a big run of the playoffs? And have you noticed that intensity in your squad building up?
Yeah, you can tell the difference between, you know, the past weeks and this week. You know, they're a lot more serious, you know, their approach to the game and taking everything real serious, you know, the film sessions and things like that. So you can tell it's intensified some.
Give me an idea, Coach, on what you need to do to win tonight and who needs to step up and play well.
Well, first of all, we need to take care of the football. We've done a pretty good job of that all year, but we can't turn the ball over. You can't give the other team chances, you know, extra chances to score on you and things like that. But our defense, you know, keeps playing the way it is. And, you know, like I said, even on the defensive side of the ball, we haven't done a lot of blitzing or anything like that because we just haven't had to. So, you know, we're going to do some of that and work on that tonight. And offensively, keep running our plays. And our offensive line is doing a tremendous job. And they're going to get a workout. We have made a couple changes on our offensive line and defense. So those would be some things they haven't seen before.
All right, Coach. Well, we certainly wish you the best of luck as we begin our playoff run. And hopefully last year, you guys came out in second place. This year, it looks like you're making that run again to Memorial Stadium.
Well, you know, we're pretty healthy and we're executing pretty well right now. So, you know, I think we've probably got as good a chance as anybody at this point, as long as we can stay healthy.
All right. Thanks again, Coach, and good luck tonight. And we appreciate the time we get to spend with you.
Okay, thank you, and thanks for the coverage.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with the starting lineups and the kickoff as the playoffs begin. You're listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show on The Breeze, 94.5 KLIQ-FM.com.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends Open House Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more, located 5 miles west of Giltner. For more information, call 631-1052.
The Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner is a proud sponsor of all Giltner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner.
Harb's Farm Supply Incorporated in Giltner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harb's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harbsfarmsupply.com, for more information.
The representatives of the Village of Giltner encourage and support the Giltner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Giltner.
Delcom in Giltner is your electrical data networking security systems thermal communications provider for everything from imaging, industrial electrical, PLC programming, process control, audio, and video work. Delcom in Giltner, your source for data electrical communications.
Joyce Agronomics lets us help you grow with channel hybrid seed sales, custom farming, and custom harvesting. Todd and Angie Joyce at Joyce Agronomics are proud supporters of the Giltner Hornets.
The Breeze, 94.5.
Back again on the New Tech pregame show. And earlier today, some scores already established, winners and losers. And let's go through some of those right now. Sandy Creek lost to Ogallala 46-28. Gordon Rushville down Fillmore Central 28-7. This is all in C1. Pierce lambasted Shadron 54-6. David City over Syracuse 40-6. These are all finals now from the mid-afternoon round. St. Cecilia
62, Bayard 21. That is, of course, in C2. And in D1 today, catch this score. Elgin Public, Pope John, 60, Southwest, 50, 110 points in that D1 ball game this afternoon. Kennesaw, in a game Blaine Bueller's brought you on ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550. Kennesaw down Sand Hills, Thedford, 58-42. Here's some other scores. Bertrand over Hay Springs, 59-14. And Humphrey over Silver Lake, 66-12. So there are some, I guess you'd have to say, typical opening round scores, huh?
Yeah, they are. You know, sometimes you get those mismatches, especially in that first round. And as you might, when you look at the records here, a lot of people would say that we've got one of them here this evening. But hey, you never, that's why they play the game. You can't look past anybody, and I don't think Giltner will be. But there'll be some interesting scenarios on this. Both teams, when you listen to the coaches, talk about their defense. And actually, the defenses have done a good job in looking at their records. The only difference being on the offensive side, Dorchester just hasn't put up the points like Giltner has.
Let me give you a couple of other partials now. Friend over Hardington, 28-6. Ord leaves Kimball. This is all fourth quarter action. Ord leaves Kimball, 21-7. BDS over Scribner by a 50-0 score in the fourth. Let's see. South Loop over Clearwater, 35-6. That's at halftime. Axtell leaves Garden County, 24-16. I don't know. I think that's in the second quarter. Mullen leads SEM, Gene, 22-12. North Central over Overton, 7-6. And let's see here. Humphrey St. Francis, 54 to nothing over their opponent. Bergen, 14. It's popping around here because I'm getting more scores in, so bear with me. Cambridge, 23, Superior, nothing. That's in the second. Lincoln Christian over Oakland, 16 to Oakland Craig, 16. Try that again. That's tied, 16 all in the first. Central Catholic, Grand Island, tied with Battle Creek, 7 all in the first. And let's see, I think that's what we have so far on finals and partials. So as we were talking, pretty much typical of opening round playoff, some blowouts, a few close ones, and this one tonight, by all order, should fall in Giltner's favor. They're undefeated on the year, and Dorchester coming in here with a tough game of ball club, not one that Giltner can look past by any stretch of the imagination. But as we look down on the field, we see six captains out there, three on each side, and we're looking at the coin toss there. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in 1 minute on the New Tech Seed pregame show, get you the results of the coin flip, and introduce tonight's players after this on The Breeze, 94.5 FM and KLIQFM.com. On the World Wide Web.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Giltner and all the Giltner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Giltner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
In Giltner, stop by and see your friendly insurance agents at Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw Insurance specializes in crop, farm, property, and casualty. For a free consultation, stop by the Giltner office or give them a call. Robert Shaw Insurance.
Todd's Body and Glass in Aurora is your collision repair specialist. Is proud to support the Giltner Hornets. Play well and be proud from Todd's Body and Glass.
The Breeze, 94.5.
Anyway, all right, let's set the starting lineups here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. The visiting Dorchester Longhorns are 4-4 on the year. Their wins came against McCool Junction. They came against Red Cloud, Meridian, and Nebraska Lutheran. Their losses were to Silver Lake, which lost today, Pawnee City, Hampton, and Exeter Milligan. Giltner won over everyone and collectively outscored their opponents 487-95. So the Hornets, despite the fact they lost some very, very outstanding players, and I don't mean just outstanding players to Giltner, I mean all-timers. Nate Most is the all-time leading passer in Nebraska high school football history. And he was a great-looking athlete, and of course, Shea Hendricks was one of his favorite receivers and really added on to that. As we said earlier, 31-23 is the average margin of the victories for Dorchester, but 61-12 on average for the Giltner Hornets. And for the Dorchester Longhorns, here's who's starting. They are co-coached by Brent Zubek and Ryan Volker. And let's set the offenses here. Jordan Jensen will start at end. He's 5'6", 120 pounds, and a sophomore. Colton Casper is the running back, 5'8", 160, and a sophomore. Brandon Shuisu is the Shuiso is the quarterback. He's 5'8", and a junior at 125 pounds. Jeremy Enderle is the other end, 5'6", 125, and he's a senior. Ricky Palke is on the offensive line, 6'1", 205. He's a sophomore. Russ Barak on the line, 5'10", 200 pounds, and a senior. Aaron Kalkarf is on the other side of the line at tackle, 5'10", 200 pounds, and a junior. And Kyle Palke, 5'9", 240, and a senior, is the center for the Dorchester Longhorns. Defensively, they'll put in Jensen. Sip Stern will come in as a defensive specialist. Brandon Shuiso will be a defensive back in addition to quarterback. Interleave stays in at DB. Rick Palke and Russ Barak are on the defensive line, as is Kyle Palke. So there's your offensive and defensive specialist for the visiting Dorchester Longhorns coming in this ball game at 4-4 on the regular season. For the Giltner Hornets, with another great year of regular season under their belts, 8-0 coming into this thing. As we said, the state championships fell to Giltner in 1971, in 1984, and they were runners-up in 2009. Luke Richards will start at wide receiver. He's 5'11", 150 pounds, and a senior. Drew Ott is the tight end slash linebacker. He's 6'4", 226 pounds, and a junior. Sean Finley fills those shoes vacated by Most at quarterback, 5'11", 173, and a senior. Logan Rath at left guard, 6'4", 228, is a junior. Gabe Harmon is one of the running backs. He will alternate in with Derek Eastman. Eastman will get the majority of the carries, but Harmon is 5'6", 145, and a senior. Derek Eastman, 5'6", 178, and a senior, is a running back and a linebacker. Nick Hendricks, defensive end, 5'10", 242, and a senior. Austin Dodson has been moved to starting center and starting nose tackle. Here's why. 5'10", 302. He's a senior. Trevor Poppin, guard and defensive end, 6'2", 183, and he is a junior. So as the Hornets are introduced here on the field, and the faithful are getting themselves warmed up and into it, a fair contingent from the Dorchester folks across... and a beautiful night for football. Giltner is 8-0. For great weeks, we're 9-0. I'd say we have not had a bad week at all any of the high school nights that we have had the pleasure of broadcasting. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to high school playoff football from Giltner. I'm LaBrie, 94.5 FM and KLIQFM.com on the World Wide Web.
There's nothing more American than football. Advantage Chevrolet sacks the competition with savings. Advantage Chevrolet, 1111 M Street in Aurora. The first place you think of, the last place you'll stop.
This is Bob Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk Anniversary Sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan, where you get savings and service.
Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated in Giltner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harvsfarmsupply.com, for more information.
The Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner is a proud sponsor of all Giltner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner.
At Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, we have always taken pride in serving the community and supporting area athletics. And we're celebrating 50 years of a winning tradition of commitment to bringing you service and hometown values. Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, downtown Aurora. Go Hornets!
Delcom in Giltner is your electrical data networking, security systems, thermal communications provider for everything from imaging, industrial electrical, PLC programming, process control, audio, and video work. Delcom in Giltner, your source for data electrical communications.
The Breeze, 94.5.
All right, again, beautiful night for football. The sun is down. That is really the only difference between week one and here, week nine, or the first weekend of the playoffs, just a skosh cooler. But I tell you what, it's been terrific weather-wise all season long. I say, Gene, that in my opinion, Nebraska high school football is the fastest sports season in America. It just seems you just blow through this, baby. Maybe it's just because it's so much fun. I don't know.
But. Well, and when you get good weather, then it makes it even that much more enjoyable. And yeah, it does. And we're ready for the kickoff. Craig in Dorchester did win the toss, and looks like they're going to get that ball. They want to see what they can do.
They want the football, so it will indeed be Dorchester receiving. Kicking off for the Giltner Hornets will be Ryan Clear. Sid Stern is back to do the return, along with Jeremy Enderlead for Dorchester, standing about their 3-yard line. The high sign goes up from the kicker. The foot goes into it, straight on. Kick goes into the end zone, touchback. And Dorchester will start from their own 15-yard line as the Giltner Hornets, 8-0 on the year, will defend first with a very, very stingy defense. They gave up only 46 points all year long.
And you look at those linebackers.
Great games, yeah. Oh, they got big backers. Drew Ott, who draws a lot of attention as a tight end, is also a formidable defender there at the linebacker spot. He's in middle linebacker right now. Under center is Swishaw, the quarterback, all night long. He rolls to his right, fires down, and it is incomplete. He shows a little bit of arm there. Jeremy Enderlead was the intended receiver. Sean Finley in on the defense there as the ball dropped harmlessly, but it was thrown with authority at about the 35-yard line of the Longhorn. So second down coming and 10 yards to go. We're just underway with no score. Minden St. Paul on our sister station Classic Hits 98.9 getting underway about right now as well. As well as Kearney Catholic Blue Hill on ESPN. Handoff goes to the tailback. He's got some running room. Puts the shoulder down. Gets the first down. That is Colton Casper. And he is tackled back there by Kyle Hawthorne, the cornerback on defense. And that was a nice-looking running play.
Well, it was. They opened up the hole good for him.
And that brings up a first down. First down of the evening, of course, for either team. We're on the first drive of the opening drive for Dorchester.
Ball's on the 27-yard line.
First and 10. They've got a deuce backfield as the quarterback looks over the field and is really draining the clock. Now he gets under. They're really slowing things down. Handoff comes to the near side on a straight give and knocked out of bounds near the 36-yard line. The running back, Colton Casper. That quarterback got up there. It looked like he was trying to run out the clock, but he just stood there and drained as much time off as he possibly could. So strategically, that may be what Dorchester's trying to do. Control the tempo, which obviously needs to be down tempo, and get down there and score.
Yeah, he's watching that clock, and he just stood there, and he's doing it again now.
He's got an eye formation right now.
Kind of like a delay game in basketball, yeah, where they just pass the ball around. And
now they pitch, go to the far side is Casper. Casper is close to a first down, and that'll be the second first down in a row for Dorchester as they move the chains again. And the clock now down to 11:14 to go as they stop the clock to move the chains real quickly.
Well, right now, Dorchester is just taking it to them and looking really good on it.
Brandon Swisher, the quarterback, is 5'8", 125. Comes up under center, and he's shown a lot of discipline in the game plan. He is just standing under center now with an eye formation. It makes the defenders a little bit nervous off guard. They're not sure when they're going to get ready. Now they do. Hand off goes to the up man this time. The fullback gets a yard or two, and that's about it.
Oh, yeah, the tough yard. Number 20.
The ball carrier on that.
Rick Palkey?
Palkey. He's listed as an offensive lineman, but he took the one in the backfield, took the handoff in the up back position, and it brings up second down and down near 10.
Well, they switched him around.
That might have been Barrick in the, on the carry. Now the up man is Michael Lee. Eye formation again, and give and go back to pass now. They take the handoff. And rolling is the quarterback overshoots his intended receiver, Jordan Jensen, at about midfield. It'll bring up third down and 10 for Dorchester. So they're varying their offense here with a very slow game in between snaps, but a diverse game in terms of running the ball from both running back slots. We have not seen the quarterback keep and run the ball yet, but he has fired the ball pretty authoritatively when he has passed it. Now, Schwitzel comes under center with a deuce backfield. And again,
penalty.
Now penalty marker comes down, and we'll see if he took too long that time. They're going to mark him back. We don't have a signal here. The signal is illegal procedure, not delay of game, but illegal procedure against Dorchester. So at 10:05, that widens their margin to the first down to 15 yards. Third down and 15. As Sid Stern goes to the far sideline now. He's a defensive specialist, was in there on offense at one of the running back slots. And now with an eye formation, Swishow is in there again. Hands off. Nope, takes the handoff, rolls to his right, fires downfield. He's got a man, and it's broken up nicely by Giltner. The ball intended for Jeremy Inderlead. A nice defensive play back there by Kyle Hawthorne, who, Gene, last time we were here at Giltner, had a great game. Hawthorne had a great game on special teams and also had a couple of nice interceptions and one for a touchdown. So Hawthorne is a man who can read the play back there and come up with the pick, and he darn near did that time. Fourth down coming, 15 yards to go, punt formation. And it's Hawthorne and Richards back there to return the kick. A low kick, hard to handle. Richards comes up at the 10-yard line, back the other way. 15, Luke Richards to the 20. Stutter steps, and he'll get yanked down by Kyle Palkey, the 5'9", 240-pound senior. And the return is up to the 25-yard line.
He looked like he had a hole there if he'd have kept coming, but he slowed up a little bit, and boy, it closed fast on him. But still a nice, you know, 15-yard return, nothing to be ashamed of there. Fairly good field position on the 25, and
Giltner gets it back and will start on their 25-yard line. And so we'll see Dorchester for the first time on defense, and Giltner first time on offense. Finley sits in the gun, and it's a bad snap right off the bat, picks it up, and he just falls forward.
And
not a whole lot you can do with a snap that should have been a gun snap, and it kind of trickles out.
Well, they were in the shotgun, and the ball just dribbled,
yeah,
back there. I don't know.
I don't know.
Hit the center and the rear end when he passed it or what, but it just, like, it took off.
It's one of life's embarrassing moments if you're the center, I think. Okay, we've got a procedural call here, and I think it's a sideline violation going to be called against Giltner. I think they got just a little too enthusiastic getting on the field from the coaching sidelines. And so he's been warned, and they dropped the marker, and I don't know if they're going to enforce a penalty yardage-wise.
Well, Dorchester's got that option. You know, they lost yards on it. So do you take first and 15 or second and maybe 12? I think that's what they're trying to figure out here. What they're taking them a long time to think of.
I tell you, if you didn't hear the interview in the pregame, sideline violation, 5-yard penalty enforced against Giltner. So now they've got a first down at 15. But Brent Zubek, the co-coach for Dorchester, had a great line. He says, "You got to play every game because you only get so many snaps in life." I love that. Sean Finley, shotgun, works his way on the option, left side, pitches now, and Dorchester is there to hem in the running back, Derek Eastman. And Eastman will lose another couple of yards. So the first series for the Hornets is kind of ugly so far. It'll bring up a third down. Try that again. Second down. And 15 still.
Wasn't a very good
back to the line of scrimmage. No. There was good penetration by Dorchester. Now he holds. This time they come to the right side. And Eastman's got some running room this time. And gets it up and gets around the outside across midfield and down to the 35. Let me correct myself. Gabe Harmon in at running back that time. They're running both Harmon and Eastman in the backfield. And this time coming to the right side was Gabe Harmon. Got the first down, got to midfield, and actually to the 34-yard line.
21 yards on this
Dorchester
run. And he broke some tackles and just hard running there. They had him in the backfield even.
Now they go to a simple I formation. One man in the backfield. Back to passes. Finley fires across the middle. Got a man. That's Gabe Harmon. Harmon at the 19-yard line is finally tackled there by Brandon Trusso. And it'll be first and 10 again for Giltner. This is their first possession. Dorchester won the coin toss, elected to receive. Couldn't do anything with it. Now it's Giltner's turn. They fire out in the flat. He's got a man. And that is Richards. Richards over on the far side. Creeps his way down the sideline. Steps out of bounds at about the 12-yard line. He needed to get to the 10, so it'll be second down coming with 2 yards to go. They mark him back one step, and it'll be second down and 3, actually. Shotgun again as Finley's got up-tempo. Pitch, right side. Eastman gets hit, and he'll be tackled about the line of scrimmage by Jeremy Inderlead, the 5'6", 125-pound defensive back for Dorchester. The clock ticks down to 8.5 to go. No score, but Giltner is driving. 2 men in the backfield on either side of Findlay. Wides both ways. Drew out the tight end is split out to the right side. Luke Richards wide to the left. Takes the handoff, rolls left now, keeping himself, gets the 5 into the end zone, touchdown, Sean Finley, and Giltner draws first blood, 6-0, Giltner.
Just a nice read on time, you know, they run the option, and he could see the guys were watching Eastman, because Eastman is their main running back, and he just kept it and dashed in those 10 yards for the TD.
So a 10-yard Finley keeper, and now they go quickly to the 2-point conversion attempt. Deuce backfield firing into the end zone, and it is complete to Drew out the tight end. And quickly, an 8-0 lead for Giltner. We'll take timeout. The Longhorns nothing. You're listening to high school playoff action in D2 on the Breeze. 94.5 FM and KLIQFM.com.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends open house Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more. Located 5 miles west of Giltner. For more information, call 631-1052.
Design life. Begin here at Floor to Ceiling. Countertops, cabinetry, every kind of flooring. Whatever you imagine for your home, our showroom has it all. Floor to Ceiling. Design life. Begin here. West Highway 30, Grand Island.
The Breeze, 94.5.
55-yard drive by Giltner. Last 10 of that on the legs of Sean Finley, the quarterback. Giltner has an 8-0 lead.
Well, Giltner did a good job of mixing it up that time. Normally a running team, but two nice passes in there and well executed. Right now they look pretty good on their offensive. Very good.
8:10 on the clock. Eastman tees it up. Gives it a ride on the straight-on kick. This time it'll bounce at the 10. Almost goes over the head of
the return man. Now he'll fire it across field on a overhand lateral. The man who received that, Jeremy Indulied, slipped, and he was upset with himself because he felt like he had a long way to go on that. So they're pulling out all the stops. The return man, Sid Stern, put the ball under his arm, went upfield about 5 yards, stopped, threw it across field on a lateral, and Enderle was not able to get a head of steam up, and so they have first down and 10 yards to go at the 15.
He passed that clear across the width of the field. But a little trickery here.
Wingman Stern goes in motion. Now they give it to him on the comebacker, and he's going to get snuffed out and down. About a 2 yard loss there. Coming in and making the tackle is Trevor Poppin for Giltner. Brings up second down and 11 yards to go.
Giltner was ready for that one. It plugged that hole pretty good and tackled him for a yard loss.
Dorchester starting at their 15. Now back at their 14. Single setback, and again, the quarterback draining that clock off. He's standing there watching the scoreboard clock and letting the ticker go down as far as he can. They want to keep the ball out of the hands of Giltner, but they're not going to do it that way because the ball goes loose and the running back has to fall on it. Colton Casper, who had some progress in that first drive, but they got away from him. It looked like he might have been on his way to a pretty good night.
And they lost a good 10 yards there.
And they lost all the way back to the 5 yards. Third down and 20 to go, which if you're Dorchester coming into Giltner, a 4-4 ball club against an 8-0 ball club, you don't want to do that.
No, that put themselves in a big hole here. Well, we got spread three of them out to the right there, so we'll see what
Pritchard happens. Pritchard, back to pass. Now he'll keep it on a quarterback draw. That's a design play. The first time we've seen him run tonight, get some running room out to about the 12 or 13-yard line. They'll wind the clock, and he gives himself a little bit of room for the punter. And I think he will stay and become that punter. And back is Luke Richards and also Kyle Hawthorne in double safety. They'll stand at the 35 of Giltner. So Swisho will stand inside his five. High snap, controls it, though. Nice kick. High kick. At the 35, coming the other way is Hawthorne, and he'll be upended right at midfield. Still good field position for Giltner as the clock at 6:02 brings another set of downs for Giltner. They just came off.
Good coverage by Dorchester on that punt.
Yep. Came off a 55-yard run, a 55-yard drive capped by a Sean Finley 10-yard run. And with an 8-0 lead, they're back on offense. Finley is standing in the gun. He's got kind of a spread, double wing. Drew Ott is standing split away from the line on the right side. Back to pass is Finley, straight back, blitz up. They fire into the flat end. Ott has got it at about the 35-yard line as he struggles forward and gets a couple of hard yards after the catch. Drew Ott to tight end, brings it a second down and 5 yards to go on that completion from Sean Findlay. Now they're quickly back at the line of scrimmage and in the gun, double wing again. Back to pass again, Findlay. Looking once, now scrambles to his right. He's got three men on him. He gets away, fires over in the flat. He's got a first down and a man out there making the reception is Derek Eastman. Nice catch and go by Eastman. He's inside the 25-yard line. And boy, he showed a lot of cool there, didn't he?
Yeah, the quarterback was doing a lot of scrambling there to pick up 12 yards on that one.
He had three men on him. He stepped up, stopped, fired to Eastman. Eastman got the first down. First and 10 now. This time it's Gabe Harmon. Harmon goes to his right. He's got some running room. Finds a little cutback seam and gets down inside the 15 to the 10-yard line. A little extracurricular out of bounds activity, and we got another flag.
Yeah, I think the tackling out of bounds there. They threw him down after he'd gotten out of bounds, and the ref was right there and said, I don't think so, and there came the yellow flag.
Personal foul, Dorchester. And I think it's just a hit out of bounds. I don't think there's any face mask involved on that hit.
No, he just hit him out of bounds, threw him down.
And so it brings up a first and goal to go inside the 5-yard line by maybe the length of a football. Sure enough, there it is. Austin Dodson leans over the football, and Sean Finley puts Gabe Harmon in motion. He'll keep it himself on a little zone replay. Gets in to the end zone. Touchdown, Giltner. Touchdown number two. And it is a 14-0 lead for the Giltner Hornets. And, Gene, we talked about the possibility that this thing could get out of hand early and often for Giltner, and it's going that way right now. Double wing as they go for two. Sean Finley stands in the gun. Dodson with the snap. Good one. Back to pass. Looks into the end zone. Now he fires, and it is in and out of the hands. He intended over there for Luke Richards. And so they'll have to settle for the 6-0. It's 14-0, though. And Giltner will kick again to Dorchester when we return on your D2 playoffs on the Breeze, 94.5 FM and KLIQFM.com.
Joyce Agronomics lets us help you grow with channel hybrid seed sales, custom farming, and custom harvesting. Todd and Angie Joyce at Joyce Agronomics are proud supporters of the Giltner Hornets.
The representatives of the Village of Giltner encourage and support the Giltner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Giltner.
The Breeze, 94.5.
10 yards and 4 yards. That capped a 51-yard drive as Giltner took it just inside of midfield and two TDs in a row. Statistically, here's one for you. You at home. Right now, how many punts do you think Giltner has had to make for this year? How many punts? Give me a second to think about it. How many punts total in 8 games? All right. Running back and kicker.
I don't know.
Gives it the ride at off the 3-yard line, and now coming back the other way, Dorchester. With a nice run back, that is Jeremy Enderlead. He got it all the way out to the 32-yard line, so they're hardly giving it up. And the answer to how many punts Giltner's had to make in the year, Gene, is what? Two punts the entire season for Giltner. No wonder you don't read the punter's press clipping. We don't even know who he is. I think they just...
I thought for sure they didn't know. Yeah. I've been a while since he punted.
He's a lonely man. All right, Dorchester, first and 10 at the 32 after that nice run back. Back to pass, quarterback Schwitzow overshoots one man in the flat. That looked like he was gunning for Jordan Jensen, the 5'6", 120-pound sophomore, kind of tipped away from him.
All his passes have been high, I've noticed. I don't know if he's just that much excited, you know, adrenaline going or whatever. But
well,
and
he's running, and sometimes if you throw off the wrong foot, it's going to fly on you. Got a strong arm, though. And
yeah,
he's under center this time. This time he kind of crouches down. As Stern goes in motion, he'll get the pitch, goes right side. Sid Stern gets a yard, 2, 3, 4, and he's forced out of bounds right in front of the Dorchester bench.
Picked up 3 yards on that run.
So with 4:57 to go in the first period of play, Dorchester actually has not been at all hapless on offense. They had a couple of nights. They had 2 first downs on their first drive, and then wheels fell off. And now they look like they've got something going right now. Second down, third down coming. And 7 yards to go, and that time the handoff goes to the running back, Colton Casper, and he is met by a wall named Logan Rath.
And I was on that, both those two.
So that's fourth down coming up.
He lost the yard.
And Dorchester will punt tonight for as many times as Giltner has the entire football season. This will be their second punt. And Sushu stands at his 25-yard line. Luke Richards is going to do the run back, and the ball is...
He fumbled it up.
And he finally fell on it, and he recovers inside the 20-yard line. It was scary enough from the standpoint of a fumble for Giltner that the beanbags came out, but he was able to fall on it. And now Giltner will get its third possession, and they will be starting from their own 20-yard line with 4:09 on the first period clock and a 14-point Giltner lead. Sean Finley in the gun. One man standing behind. Gabe Harmon in motion. Back to pass Sean Finley. Finley pulls it down. He's got some running room. He cuts back and is cut short of the first down. He needed to get to the 30. He got to about the 28. Second down coming. And 2 yards to go. Finley scored both touchdowns. The last one on a zone read took him in from four out. Shotgun. Option. Left side. Pitches. Eastman, first down, and that's all.
I'd say they have a good option play there that Finley is really quite good at running that and catching at the last
minute. It's a little herky-jerky from the standpoint of they string it out so long, but it seems to be effective that way. First and 10, now Harmon in motion. Again, they fake the handoff from him. Finley keeps this time himself, gets 5, 6, 7 yards. And is just shy of the midfield stripe. See where they mark it, but I think they're going to nose the ball at midfield, and that means an 8-yard gain for Findlay on the quarterback keeper. They faked to Harmon, and then he just convoyed to the right himself. Second down. Shotgun. Findlay fires. In the flat, he's got a man. It's Richards. Richards has got running room. 20. 10. Luke Richards. Touchdown, Giltner. 2:56 to go in the first, and Giltner has a 20-point lead. 60-yard drive. So they've scored on drives of 55, 51, and 60 yards. The Giltner Hornets go for two. The hot is split to the right side. Richards to the left. Findlay in the gun has running backs on either side. They fake it to one man, Eastman. Findlay keeps it, falls forward, gets into the end zone, and then the 2-point is a conversion, 22-0. So all the scoring by Giltner, two of the touchdowns by Sean Findlay, one for Richards, and the PAT by Findlay that time, and Giltner is in control of this one, 22-0. Back in a half minute, you're listening to D2. First-round playoff football on The Breeze, 94.5 FM and KLIQFM.com.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Giltner and all the Giltner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Giltner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
Design life. Begin here at Floor to Ceiling. Countertops, cabinetry, every kind of flooring. Whatever you imagine for your home, our showroom has it all. Floor to Ceiling. Design life. Begin here, West Highway 30, Grand Island.
The Breeze, 94.5.
John Findlay does not have the passing reputation that his predecessor, Nate Most, did, but he has been very effective, and he fired a 40-yard strike that time to Luke Richards.
He's 5 for 5.
Pretty good.
The first quarter so far was about 3 minutes left.
And Eastman gives it a ride. He's a straight-on kicker, skips it at the 15-yard line. Stern picks it up back the other way to the 10. Sid Stern, 15, 20.
Uh-oh, he followed right
up. And the ball pops out, and Giltner may have it right back.
Boy, not what you need if you're Dorchester. Giving the ball up on the 25-yard line.
I mean, that baby just really popped out. So either he got the ball low and kicked it with his knee, or someone reached in there and popped it out for him. But Giltner, on the kickoff fumble for Dorchester, gives it right back to Giltner at the 25-yard line of Dorchester. Findlay in the gun stands at the 30. Back to pass. Fires long. End zone. Out. Keeney. 28-0. Giltner putting on a show here in the first period with 2:44 on the clock. Man, that was beautiful. That was just beautiful. A rainbow falls into the hands of Drew Ott, and it is a 28-0 ball game for Giltner, and Dorchester's got to be scratching heads right now.
They've dug themselves a hole here, Craig.
That was off a turnover. Findlay, shotgun, 2-point attempt, pitches Eastman into the end zone. 2 points good. And it is now 30-0 in favor of Giltner. We may have a running clock here coming out in the second half. With 2:44 on this first period clock, it's Giltner 30 and Dorchester nothing. We'll be back in 30 seconds with the Giltner kickoff on the Breeze 94.5 FM and KLIQFM.com.
Todd's Body and Glass in Aurora is your collision repair specialist, is proud to support the Giltner Hornets. Play well and be proud from Todd's Body and Glass.
There's nothing more American than football. Advantage Chevrolet sacks the competition with savings. Advantage Chevrolet, 1111 M Street in Aurora. The first place you think of, the last place you'll stop.
The Breeze, 94.5.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're celebrating here in Giltner. Joel and Alex over at the Sitting Bowl sent us a pizza just a minute ago. Rob Osmond, if you're listening in, didn't need your begging for food tonight. They just send it over. So thanks, Sitting Bull. We appreciate it, buddy.
Man, I'll tell you what, we might have to have some dead space here on the air to take a bite of pizza.
Well, there are a lot of folks eating there on the way into town. They saw that. All right, here comes Giltner with another This is a high one, and Dorchester,
better get on it.
Nothing happens, is going to get some decent field position. Picking the ball up is one of the up end for Dorchester. He got it about the 19 and fell forward.
That was
about the 22-yard line. That was Brandon Stillwagon, who is a running back linebacker. He was one of the up men. So,
the folks are listening, that was one of those kicks that you almost call a fair catch on.
Oh, yeah.
Real high and short.
And a tough one to field. But this one, they didn't cough up.
This
and Dorchester has it just outside their 20. Stern goes in motion. They've got double wides to the right side. Stern gets the carry, and a convoy to the right side is going to break down. It's coming in as Sibley to force him out of bounds, and I think he's going to lose about 2 yards.
Yeah, that didn't look good. They had him spread out. It almost looked like one of these six-man formations. We had three guys on the line, and everybody else is sideline to sideline, and I don't know. They just couldn't get the blocking out there for him.
About the only thing that Giltner has not done perfectly tonight is they missed 1 2-point conversion. Otherwise, they'd be up 32-0. Single setback, everybody inside, one wide out. Back to pass. Quarterback looking long, and he looked the wrong way. His receiver turned in, and he fired on a fly route. Colton Casper was the intended receiver, and I know that only because he was the only white shirt out there, but it fell incomplete harmlessly downfield. Luke Richards was really the closest guy, and he's in the wrong color jersey. Third down coming in, 12 yards to go.
Miscommunication between the passer and the receiver because he missed him by 15 yards.
Yeah, you can see Casper cut off the route and curled in, and he was thrown on a fly pattern. Frisell, the quarterback, under center. Now they hand it off to Stern on a halfback option. He fires long, and it is intercepted and then dropped by Sean Finley.
Another incomplete pass on that one.
Thank you.
About a 20-yarder and almost got intercepted. They're going to have to punt again.
Fourth down and 12 yards to go.
We
had a good snap, a good kick, and Richards is back there, and so is Hawthorne, and Hawthorne has it on the return across midfield. Kyle Hawthorne inside to about the 26-yard line of Dorchester.
A 30-yard return. They're right back. Dorchester's line of scrimmage was good field position again, starting on the...
That's a net of about 6 yards, isn't it?
Yeah, and not much more.
After the return.
On the 27.
Giltner's on the Dorchester, yes, 27-yard line. Finley back to pass. Fires got Ott across the middle, and Drew Ott drags a man past the first down marker, and it'll set up first and 10 at the 15-yard line now for Giltner.
With a 12-yard pass.
Folks, we're still in the first quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a...
Shotgun, Finley, Ott split wide to the right. Inside handoff is given to Eastman, and Eastman gets a yard or two. That's a decent tackling. Kyle Palke in there for Dorchester. And it'll bring up a second down and 8 yards to go, which is something that Giltner has not faced a whole lot tonight.
No, they haven't.
Running backs are Hawthorne, and the handoff goes to Eastman, the other running back. He bounces all the way inside the 5-yard line. Straight ahead, just like a bowling ball there. That was Gabe Harmon, the other running back in the backfield with him, not Hawthorne. But it was Eastman that got the yardage and got the first down and got a first and goal to go set up now for Giltner. And they're trying to go in for their fifth touchdown of the night, and we are only in the first period with 1:21 to go.
4 yards.
Finley, shotgun, 4-yard line, handoff inside. Again, it goes to Eastman. He gets the feet moving, and it is a touchdown. Touchdown, Giltner, 36-0. So that time, the legs of Eastman were key on that very short drive that they got started at about the 27-yard line of Dorchester. 2-point attempt, handoff on the inside handoff, and Eastman will fall shy that time. And so they have missed 2-point afters on 5 touchdowns.
Well, Giltner, I think, wants to get back into that championship game because they're just showing it tonight right now.
I tell you what, I was not able to go down last year and watch Giltner at Lincoln, but we got to do quite a few of the ball games up until that point. Rob Osmond, of course, went down there and saw them losing the championship game. They were able to stick a state runner-up banner on the scoreboard, but I'm sure they would have rather had a 2009 state championship. And I was talking to a couple of folks before the ball game, and I said, "Well, gee, you got that Howells Ball Club in the semifinal if you go all the way." And they're convinced that Howells isn't going to make the semifinal. He said St. Francis is going to take them down.
Really? What was the score that the gentleman was showing us earlier? And we had to. I couldn't. He was talking Howells, but he also said a different school. It didn't look like.
We'll get you caught up on all the scores coming up here at the Allens of Hastings halftime report.
We know the Giltner coach said in his interview that a lot of his players haven't played the second half, and boy, we're seeing it here, aren't we?
Kickoff bounces at about the 20-yard line, and it goes back and picked up by Brandon Stillwagon, and to get his battery right away.
But on the 16-yard line. You know, one thing that's interesting on the kickoffs by Giltner, we've seen them go through the end zone and up to the end zone. Then we've seen a pooch kick that went 20 yards high. Now we've seen two of them that dribbled down there. The kickoffs have been.
I think the score we were talking about was Humphrey St. Francis 54, Lawrence Nelson nothing. That was a final.
Got a flag here before we get started. This is going to go against Dorchester. Oh, no.
Sergeant over Loop City.
On Giltner.
Sergeant over Loop City, 21-0 in the second quarter. Here in Giltner, the Hornets are ahead of Dorchester's Longhorns, 36-0, and we are still in the first period of play. 1:06 on the first period clock. When Dorchester comes to the line of scrimmage, they will have a first down and 5 yards to go on that flag. And Swish out the quarterback under center. I formation, he just turns and falls down. He either got stepped on by his center or I don't think he turned his ankle because he's not limping. He might have been stepped on by the center or a lineman coming back to pass block.
Well, they just, when they're not going right, they're just not going right.
Isn't that true? Second down now, he lost about 2 on that. Second down, 7. And coming back into the ball game, Colton Casper. Colton Casper, the running back, is back in. Pleasanton, 40-34. That's a final. Under center, Deuce backfield. Quarterback keeper, and he can't get anywhere. He tried to find the corner on the right side, and he's back where the original sticks were, back at the 15-yard line. And so Dorchester's going to have to kick it again, and they may not be able to get the kick accomplished before the end of the first period. We're ticking down under 10 seconds now. Ticking down under 10 seconds. And Dorchester will let that happen. And when we come back, we'll have a punt coming up on third down. And so when we come back, we'll run the third down play and see where that gets Dorchester. They're down 36-0. It would be 40-0 were it not for two missed point after attempts. 2 point attempts.
That's the only fault in Gildner's game right now. I mean, they've just looked flawless after this first quarter, and you can see why they're 8-0, Craig. They just executed to perfection. 7 for 7 on passing. You know, the runs are, I mean, they're blocking well.
All right, I just got my bearings here. Pleasanton defeated Stewart. My text came across and said Pleasanton over Stroud, and I couldn't figure who in the dickens is that. Stewart lost to Pleasanton, or Pleasanton beat Stewart 40-34. We're just going to keep it right here. We've had so many breaks already because of the touchdowns that Gildner has scored here, and we're just going to start the second period. Allens of Hastings brings you the halftime report coming up, and we'll get you pointed on all of the finals and partials that we have so far. I will recap the afternoon games when we have finals and halftime. Here comes third down. And back to pass, Schwissau. Gets a man and overshoots him. Actually was a little late with it because he was crossing and a little behind him. Incomplete now.
Had a first down if he had got to him. He was wide open. But like you say, when things aren't going your way, they're just not going your way.
All right, it's too bad. And now I was not predicting a Dorchester punt, but sure enough, here it comes. I tried to rush him and down early.
Well, that penalty in there is what threw it.
Fourth down, eight. Schwissau puts a leg to it. Luke Richards tries to fill it out of bounds, and Dorchester falls on it.
He tried to short hop it, as we say in baseball, and the ball hit right in front of him and hit the Gildner boy.
Heads up play there. I think Jeremy Enderlead was in there for Dorchester. And so the Longhorns get new life here. And if anybody needs new life at this point, it's Dorchester. They're down by 36 points. First down at 10.
This is about their best field position of the night. And Gildner's 47.
Bruce backfield. Fake the handoff. They go straight up the middle. And nothing doing. In the way there was Nick Hendricks and a few other folks there, including Austin Donson, shutting down that one after about a one-yard gain. Clock at 11:28 to go.
I'm used to this first eight-man game I've seen this year, Craig, so I've got to get used to the short field.
Yeah,
the yard line.
Subtract 20 from anything. I formation on the reverse to the far side and sniffed out again by Nick Hendricks and also Sean Finley over there. Will stop the running back, Jeremy Enderly. Try that again, stop the end, who took the end around about a yard shy of the original sticks, and it'll be third down and 11. So Gildner, which showed some authentic talent on offense, is now stiffening up on defense and showing some signs of intensity there as well. Back to pass again. Scrambling around is Schwartzo. And he fires short and incomplete inside the 30-yard line. The ball was intended for Sid Stern.
You know, at the beginning of the game, we were talking about how the quarterback or the Dorchester team was trying to slow the clock down. I see why. I mean,
yeah,
they quit doing that now. You notice they're coming up to the line and pretty much in a different rhythm. They're just going at it, but it's not helping them any, unfortunately.
Before you know it, it's another punting situation. Good snap. Fuso gives it a ride, and it bounces, goes into the end zone. That looked like that could have been interesting. It had a little action on the ball. It could have just as well died right there. But Finley, who was back as one of the return men, let it go into the end zone. And now he'll stay out as quarterback, as Giltner, with his 36-0 lead, will take over for their seventh possession of the first half. Finley in the gun. Wides both ways. Slot man is hot. Fire. We got a screen coming up. First down, and it's Eastman dragging people down up to nearly midfield. A middle screen set up beautifully by Giltner. He had a wall. I don't think the defenders even saw Eastman. Westlaw's got to him.
He had small
three
guy.
Men standing in the middle of the field. He snuck up behind him, then cut to the left, got upfield, and picked up the first down. Ball spotted now at the 38-yard line of Giltner. Beautiful play. Slot and wingman is Drew Ott to the left side. Wides both ways otherwise. Finley straight back to pass. Looks long. He's got a man. That's out across the middle at the 30-yard line. Ott down to the 25, to the 23-yard line. And Drew Ott, whose receptions this year were a little shy of last year's, probably for a myriad of reasons, not the least of which is they run the ball this year a little bit more, but he's coming up big here tonight, both offensively and defensively. And after that first down, he split out slightly to the right. His coming in motion is Gabe Harmon. He gets the ball to the left side. He's got a cutback lane. He's at the 15. Harmon, 10-5. Touchdown, Giltner.
He did a nice job of juking around those. He just faked them out. I mean, there's a phrase that goes with those kind of fakes as far as the defensive people, but he definitely put it to them. 24-yard run, Buck Craig?
Yes, sir. 24-yard run by Gabe Harmon. Two-point attempt option. Eastman, left side, waltzes into the end zone. Two-point is good, and it is now Giltner 44 and Dorchester nothing. 9:37 to go till halftime. Back with the kickoff on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, KLIQFM.com.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
The Sittin' Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner is a proud sponsor of all Giltner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sittin' Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner.
The Breeze, 94.5.
44-0 is your score. Giltner in control here. And Dorchester probably going to end their season tonight. Question is a matter of what will be the final score.
Well, right now, I mean, Giltner is just hanging it on them. I mean, there's nothing else you can say. And
the kickoff by Giltner is taken by Sid Stern inside the 5. Stern skips out to the 15, cuts to the outside, and coming up and riding him down is Jacob Finley, the 5'11", 134-pound sophomore.
He tipped it on the 1-yard line, and I guess got it out to the 15. I was debating about whether he should let it go in the end zone to try to get field position, but he still got it back to the 15. Same
with got a tailgating on Brent Zuback, the co-coach for Dorchester's line. You know, you only got so many run backs in life, you might as well take as many as you can.
Yeah.
And he did. Back to pass again, and being buried by Drew Ott is the quarterback, Brandon Schwissau. I'm having the darndest time with his name. It's spelled S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W. And it just...
He lost 5 yards there so fast that he didn't know what hit him.
No, Ott was right on top of him. Second down and 15, and the clock's running at just outside 9 minutes to go. Giltner in control, 44-0. Probably have a running clock coming out of halftime. Under center. And the handoff goes to the running back, this time Russ Barrick. And he is pulled down for about a yard loss on the far side of the field there. It'll be third down and 16 yards to go for Dorchester. Now, Giltner has just taken and
putting the hurt on him.
Defensively, I'm looking for an analogy. It's kind of like they're just kind of balling their hand up into a fist, and inside that fist is the Dorchester offense. I mean, they're just shutting it down.
You know, when Dorchester first came out, they ran pretty well. And
they got away from it. I didn't see them run the same plays to Colton Casper as they did in the first series. Now they try a little bit of screen over to the far side, and it sifts out immediately.
That's the first pass.
And the completion was to Rick Paulke. And he's immediately tackled over there.
Picked up 1 yard on that pass. That's the first completion for them tonight.
So another punt, and standing back in double safety, Kyle Hawthorne. Luke Richards standing at midfield, just inside maybe the Dorchester territory. And gets a nice kick. Richards back at the 35, and he's having a hard time hanging on to that ball here last couple of punts, but he falls on it at the 30-yard line. A fumble at this point, it would hardly be a game-changing event, but you don't want to see that that habit develop either. So Gildner will get the ball at their own 30-yard line with 7:53 to go on the second period clock. Sean Findlay has Drew Ott as a wingman to his left. Single setback is Eastman. He'll get the swing pass, comes down to the near side, and puts his shoulder down, drives the opposition up to the 39. He gave Sid Stern a little shot there, and right before he went out of bounds, got some nice downfield blocking by Luke Richards. You know, second down and three.
Gildner, they don't huddle. They got one of those hurry-up offenses.
I don't know if they know how to slow it down. You know, it's kind of like
a high snap.
Findlay has to fall on it way back inside the 22-yard line. You don't want to get too nonchalant either. And that time, that was the first kind of errant snap we've seen, except for the one that dribbled out in the very early going by Austin Dodson, who moved to center here tonight. Let's see if he's still in there as the snapper. He might not have been in the early going. No, wait a minute. That is not him. Let me get a new number as they fire it out. Completed to Eastman, and he's down to the 35-yard line of Dorchester as he was hit in stride, got the first down, and picks that up all the way down to the 35-yard line. Nick Hendricks has moved back in as the center, so I don't know how long he's been in there. I just picked that up after the high snap, and isn't that like an offensive line and only get picked on the radio when you do something not good? But anyhow, it wasn't Dodson. Pitch, Eastman, left side. Got a little running room, gets down inside to the 31-yard line or thereabouts. Close to a first down. Now they say he got beyond it, and it'll move the chain.
12 yards, huh?
They'll spot that at the 24-yard line.
Oh, you didn't have noticed how fast that chain gang, their move, I mean.
They better.
I'd have a hard time keeping up writing my numbers down.
They're probably used to it by now.
Well, they are.
Shotgun Findlay. On the zone read, he gives it off to Eastman, and Eastman gets down inside the 20 to about the 17-yard line. So here is blaming old Austin Dodson for Aaron Snap, and there he is standing right in front of us down there. Didn't do it.
I mean, you know things are going your way when you have a bad snap and lose 15 yards, and you come back and make it first down the next play. A
couple of them. Findlay back to pass, fires in the flat, he's got Ott. Out at the 15, out at the 10, inside the 5-yard line, Drew Ott pulled that baby down, squared his shoulders, and went for pay dirt and was 5 yards shy of it. They're going to spot it. Let's see, angle's bad here. I think actually about the 6-yard line. First and goal at the 6 for Sean Findlay and the Hornets. Shotgun, handoff, Eastman left. Can't cut back. He's finally dragged down there as they strung it out nicely for Dorchester.
No gain on that.
And Barak, the defensive lineman, pulled him down. And it'll be second down and no gain. So second down, we'll call second down and a long 5, short 6 to go. Findlay in the gun. Ott is the slot man right side. Findlay looks back. Looks to Ott. Batted down. Nice job of getting the paw in the way by Kyle Paulke for Dorchester. Paulke's a big guy. He's listed as 5'9". I don't believe it. He's bigger than that. 240 and a senior.
Not a bad size, though. Yeah, you're right.
Got the paw up there and knocked it down. Okay, so third and goal. Findlay stands at his 10. Moves the leg, sets and in motion, keeps it himself inside the 5. Did he get into the end zone or not? Let's see the spot. Doesn't look like it. It looked a little bit like Gabe Harmon might get the handoff, and had Gabe Harmon got the handoff, he might have danced into the end zone because I didn't see too many people following him. So with a fourth down and goal to go inside the one, Giltner is going to try it. Findlay has Eastman in the backfield with him. Harmon is the wide out to the right side. Now they do a little bit of resetting, and a timeout's going to be called here by Jeff Ashby. So with 5:19 to go till halftime, let's take 30. You're listening to D2 High School Playoffs. In this case, Giltner with a 44-0 lead over Dorchester. We're back in 30 seconds on The Breeze, 94.5 FM at KLIQFM.com.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends Open House Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more. Located 5 miles west of Giltner. For more information, call 631-1052.
Delcom and Giltner is your electrical data networking, security systems, thermal communications provider for everything from imaging, industrial electrical, PLC programming, process control, audio, and video work. Delcom and Giltner, your source for data electrical communications.
The Breeze, 94.5.
This drive started at the 30-yard line of Giltner. And they're knocking at the door of Dorchester again with a 44-0 lead. They come across the line of scrimmage 7 times. The only blotch on the whole deal is 2 missed 2-point attempts. In motion, Harmon. They give it to Harmon. Left side, Harmon falls into the end zone. Touchdown. Gabe Harmon, second touchdown of the night. 5:14 to go in the half. And Giltner tacks on 6 more. And it is now 50-0. Battle Creek leaves Grand Island Central Catholic 35-21. That's after 3. Sergeant over Loup City 35-0 mid-second quarter. 50-0 with 5:14 to go in the half here. And the handoff goes to Eastman. He'll get 2 more. And it is now 52-0 after the Gabe Harmon run from a yard out. And we will take 30 seconds and be back with the kickoff by Giltner right after this.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
The Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner is a proud sponsor of all Giltner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner.
The Breeze, 94.5.
All right, Dorchester has gotten nowhere near the end zone.
We noticed that several times here. I'm sorry, Giltner's. Been a lot of reserve. We got a lot of new numbers out there, Craig. So, coach is going to get some new players in the game for Giltner. There they go.
And the kickoff is a high one. Stern takes it at the goal line, but they say he put his heel in the end zone. That'll be an automatic touchback at the 15.
We'll see. That looks like Giltner's putting in the regulars again, the starters as far as on defense.
Well, here again, you got this whole deal. You gotta know that you're going to have tougher teams the deeper you go in the playoffs, so you can't let your starters get out of rhythm. But on the other hand, hey, it is 52-0, so you know what are you going to do?
And I don't think
under center Schwissau swings it out. Sid Stern has nowhere to go, and he's going to be buried over there by Austin Dodson, who got out. I think Austin's got a little extra tape on his right ankle. That may be why he came out at center. See that? He didn't have that in the early going, I don't think. Clock at 4:50 to go in the first half. Allen's of Hastings halftime report coming up, and we'll do the best we can to get you every score we have. A few finals are already in. And single setback is Russ Barrick. In the backfield, penalty markers go down.
It looked like Giltner jumped offside. Yep, that's the call.
The Dorchester starting at their 15-yard line get a 5-yard gift here from the officials. Under center again. Swish you. Hands it off to Stern, and Stern is going to be stood upright at the line of scrimmage. Straight up the middle, nothing doing. KLIQ, Hastings, Kearney, Grand Island. We've been at this about an hour, and Giltner has scored about a point a minute. 52-0. Yeah, it happens. First round of the playoffs. You got an 8-0 ball club against 4-4. Smart money's always on 8-0. Hand off again. This time goes to Colton Casper. And he had a couple of nice runs in the early going, and then they kind of got away from him. That time he takes it out for about 8 yards. Now they're going to mark it back a little bit. It's going to be 4th down and 7. So Casper, who's got some nice speed, he's got good acceleration and speed, and he seems to have a nose for the blocking lane, but he had not seen the ball since it was 0-0, really the only degree.
And he has two linebackers like Gilder's guys.
Well, and they're lying too. I mean, that's true. But he's been he in the first drive. I think the first and the third drive of the ball game. I think we saw him finding some daylight. And either Gilder made the adjustment to that, or just somehow, as sometimes offenses do, they get away from what's working. Timeout is called on the field. I think this time by Dorchester. We'll take 60 seconds and be back with more football. With Giltner on top of Dorchester, 52-0 on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, KLIQFM.com. 1 minute timeout.
Joyce Agronomics lets us help you grow with channel hybrid seed sales, custom farming, and custom harvesting. Todd and Angie Joyce at Joyce Agronomics are proud supporters of the Giltner Hornets.
In Giltner, stop by and see your friendly insurance agents at Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw Insurance specializes in crop, farm, property, and casualty. For a free consultation, stop by the Giltner office or give them a call. Robert Shaw Insurance.
At Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, we have always taken pride in serving the community and supporting area athletics. And we're celebrating 50 years of a winning tradition of commitment to bringing you service and hometown values. Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, downtown Aurora. Go Hornets!
Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated in Giltner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harvsfarmsupply.com, for more information.
The Breeze, 94.5.
All right, we just saw a kind of a rollout rugby-style kick by Schwissu, and It sets Giltner up 1st and 10 at their own 32-yard line for another set of downs here. 3:10 to go in the first half. Sean Finley, the quarterback, scrambles, and he'll be pulled down for about a 2-yard loss. The ball was at the 32, and now they mark the line of scrimmage back just outside the 30-yard line. That's one of very few, as you can imagine, with a 52-0 score, one of very few negative yardage plays that Giltner has suffered tonight. They go spread. They've got Ott, the big guy, a tight end standing up on the right-hand side of the line. Findlay puts Gabe Harmon in motion, fake it to him, fires across the middle. Luke Richards got it up at midfield, jukes one man, gets down to the 35-yard line. Luke Richards, who caught a 40-yard touchdown pass earlier. Shows some nice movement over there as he caught the ball and added about 5 extra yards beyond that. Luke Richards, 1st down and 10. They call it 36-yard line of Dorchester. Firing across the middle, and now the big man sits, catches the ball, turns, and gets another 2 or 3 yards, and that'll be a pickup of close to 8 yards on that 1st down play to the tight end, Drew Ott. And again, it's a hurry up for Giltner. They can't help themselves, folks. It's what they do. The Hornets on the inside handoff to Eastman. He'll get the 1st down and a little bit more.
Well, we got a late flag in there. We'll see what that's all about.
gained about 5 yards on the run, and then we had a...
We know one thing with Gilder is not delay a game.
No. Oh, I've never seen a team come up to the line so fast, and their chain gangs help. I mean, they're right with them.
Yeah, you're right.
Foul, you know, face mask.
And so that'll go against Dorchester to the tune of more yards after that play. And that's going to put Giltner all the way down to the 11-yard line of Dorchester. They may take a 60-point halftime lead. 2:02 to go until half. They're up 52-zip right now. This drive started at their own 32. Gabe Harmon goes way wide to the right. Drew Ott is in the slot and the wing to the right side. Luke Richards to the left. Hand off goes to Eastman. Eastman's got a lane up the middle into the end zone. Touchdown! Giltner pours it on. And it's 58-0. 58-0. 1:57 to go in the first half of play. Now they'll go for two. They've only missed two of these. Trying to make it 60-0. Shotgun Finley. Ott in motion. Hand off again. Eastman picks up the block, goes into the end zone. Two-point is good, and it is 60. That is 6-0 to nothing with 2:57 to go in the first half. Half-minute timeout. The Giltner Hornets will kick off again. You can tell their kicker because he's got a little limp developing now from a fatigue on the right leg. We'll be right back on the Breeze 94.5 FM and KLIQFM.com.
The representatives of the Village of Giltner encourage and support the Giltner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Giltner.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Giltner and all the Giltner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Giltner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
The Breeze, 94.5.
See the change laying there.
Well, they're averaging just slightly under a point a minute. 60-0 for Giltner. I mean, a minute in real time, not playing time. In playing time, they're well above a point a minute. It's Plyer. Again, we'll tee it up. And that fatigued left, right leg. I'm kidding.
Out of bounds.
Maybe I'm right. It went out of bounds that time. It bounced to the right side, out of bounds, and so Dorchester will, I think, have the option of a re-kick. Clyer says, please, no. But they're going to. So Dorchester will move up about 5 yards. Giltner will move back about 5 yards to do the re-kick. Up 60-0 with under 2 to go. The up men for Dorchester are standing inside of Giltner territory now as the tee rests at the 25-yard line. I was talking to the Dorchester coach, or the co-coach, Brent Zubik, before the ball game. He said he got a pretty good-looking place kicker, and he did. But he hadn't had a chance to use him at all. He had one kickoff. No, he didn't either. He hasn't kicked off yet.
No.
No extra points, no... We even talked about the fact that he actually had completed some field goals, which is unusual in D2. Now Sid Stern takes the kickoff back up across the 10, up almost to the 15-yard line.
I think he's even up to
the 20-yard line, I'm sorry. And so he did get positive yardage relative to the touchback on that. And the re-kick did pay off for Dorchester in terms of slight field position improvement. So it'll be first and 10 at the 20-yard line of Dorchester for the Longhorns. Back to pass. Firing out in the flats. And Stearns got it at the 25-30. Stearns got an open field at the 35 down to the 30-yard line of Giltner. It's the best play tonight. The only long positive pass play at all for the Longhorns goes to Sid Stern, the running back out of the backfield.
30 yards on that one.
From Brandon...
That's the second time they've been in Giltner's territory tonight, though. Only the second time they've been across midfield.
And so it's first and 10 this time with the 30-yard line of Giltner.
under center. Handoff goes to the I-back, and the I-back gets not a whole lot. That's Colton Casper. He gets a yard or two. Running straight up the middle is going to be right at Drew Ott.
Well, they just give him a yard.
And that's not a high percentage play.
He runs into those two linebackers.
Ott just stands there looking big at you.
Ott and Logan
Rath. Logan Rath, I mean, that's
two leading tacklers on the team.
That's big medicine right there. Single set back, wides to the right side. They fire it over again. Sid Stern's got the reception, and he's got close to a first down, and he's bumped out of bounds right at the 20-yard line. That's where he had to go, and I think that's going to be good enough for a first down. Nope, not quite. Third down and just a little bit.
Very little. I think that one's kind of where you the luck of where the referee puts it down because he's that close.
Well, they don't have a whole lot of time here to mess around. Now they're going from an extreme delay slow game. They better hurry up and get her snapped. 30 seconds to go. Deuce backfield. Under center, the quarterback hands it off to the far side. Colton Casper's got the first down a little bit more, and good for him. Goes out of bounds, stops the clock with 23 seconds to go in the first half. Again, Giltner is going to win this thing. It's 60-0, and we're not even at halftime. But Dorchester, I'm going to repeat this again. If you missed the pregame, Brent Zubek, one of their coaches in the interview, said, yeah, we're underdogs, but we're going to play like it's even Steven because you only get so many snaps in life.
Yeah.
That's a great philosophy. So they're playing all these snaps. They got Stern in the slot. Back to pass, fling into the end zone for Stern, and it is almost intercepted by Richards. Incomplete. Stops the clock at 17, and they'll get a couple more snaps in their final first half of the 2010 football season.
Well, so far in his passing, he's gone to number five, Sid Stern, three times. I mean, that's the only completion. He got three completions out of, I think I got 11 attempts here.
Stern certainly was indicated to be a player in tonight's ball game, mostly on defense, but he's been very effective on offense. I don't know how much during the season they've used him. He's in the pass pattern now as the quarterback is going to be sacked way back at close to the 25-yard line by Nick Hendricks.
Lost about 9 yards on that one.
The quarterback is going to account for about negative 10 on that one. Third down and 20 coming. 9 seconds to go until halftime. And Dorchester, I think, is calling the timeout.
Yeah, they did.
All right, let's take 30 here. 9 seconds to go. Dorchester in a timeout and down by 60 to Giltner. We're back in a half minute on The Breeze, 94.5 FM and KLIQFM.com.
Delcom and Giltner is your electrical data networking security systems thermal communications provider for everything from imaging, industrial electrical, PLC programming, process control, audio, and video work. Delcom and Giltner, your source for data electrical communications.
This is Bob Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk anniversary sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan, where you get savings and service.
The Breeze, 94.5.
We got a bunch of scores here I want to pass along to you. Blue Hill leading Kearney Catholic 16-0 in the second. Kearney Catholic beat them last time they met. Firing down and completing at the 10-yard line before he's hashed there by Luke Richards. The completion was to Jordan Jensen, and that was kind of a nice pitch catch. Got about 50 yards, but it's going to be fourth down and 5, and this will be the last play of the first half. They got to get into pay dirt, or it's a shutout in the first half for the Hornets. 3 seconds on the clock. Dotson comes back in at middle guard, nose tackle. Eastman is back in on defense. Ott and Rath are still in there, guards in the middle. They're going to have to go up top. They're not going to make 5 yards running, I don't think.
Well, no, with 3 seconds.
They're going to talk about it, no. And now they're here. They're going to try a field goal. They're going to try and break the shutout and it's Colton Casper. Like I said, Sid Stern, he's got a good leg. We were down there watching him on the field, and it's a nice snap. Kick is up, and the kick is
good.
And so Sid Stern puts it through and true from about 20 yards out. And so even though he would rather have done it on a closer game to win or perhaps a bunch of points after, he'll settle for a shutout-busting three with 3 seconds on the clock. And so we're at halftime. That was a nice game. In the pregame, I mean, I'm down there on the field and trying to catch the starting lineups and whatnot from Brent Zubek, the co-coach for Dorchester. And I said, this guy can kick for D2. And he says, yeah. I said, what have you done during the regular season? We kicked a couple of field goals and some extra points, which, you know, for D2 is very unusual.
Thank you.
Very unusual. And he was as good a kicker as I personally have seen from anybody all season long. So,
he had a 25-yarder there, and that one was could have been easy 40, probably.
Yeah, and it was straight through, and good execution on the center and the hold as well. Anyhow, enough about a 3-point play. We're going to take a break. We will be back in 2 minutes. To take a look at stats, partial scores, and final scores from the first round of the Nebraska football playoffs. And we might even dive into that. Hey, you guys. Hey, guys at the Sitting Bowl, somebody else ate our pizza. What's the deal? We're paying rent here, I guess, huh? All right. Thanks to the guys at the Sitting Bull again and here in Gildner. And we'll take a break. We'll be back around the corner with the Allens of Hastings halftime report on the Breeze, 94.5 FM.
The representatives of the Village of Gildner encourage and support the Gildner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Gildner.
Design life. Begin here at Floor to Ceiling. Countertops, cabinetry, every kind of flooring. Whatever you imagine for your home, our showroom has it all. Floor to Ceiling. Design life. Begin here. West Highway 30, Grand Island.
JSGK Catering in Gildner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Gildner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
Todd's Body and Glass in Aurora is your collision repair specialist. Is proud to support the Gildner Hornets. Play well and be proud from Todd's Body and Glass.
Joyce Agronomics lets us help you grow with channel hybrid seed sales, custom farming, and custom harvesting. Todd and Angie Joyce at Joyce Agronomics are proud supporters of the Gildner Hornets.
At Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, we have always taken pride in serving the community and supporting area athletics, and we're celebrating 50 years of a winning tradition of commitment to bringing you service and hometown values. Hope Home Furnishings and Flooring, downtown Aurora. Go Hornets!
Allen's, the You Get More Superstore. Check out the Food Mart, Wine Cellar, Pharmacy, Husker Shop, and Sporting Goods. Plus a whole lot more. Allen's Photoshop now has state-of-the-art inkjet photo technology with unsurpassed color and clarity. Allen's develops 35mm true black and white and slide film. Plus produces in-store prints from wallets to 40x60-inch posters. 1115 West 2nd Hastings. Allen's, the You Get More Superstore. Check us out online with weekly specials at allensuperstore.com.
We're the You Get More Superstore.
The Breeze, 94.5.
You're listening to the Allens of Hastings Halftime Report. You Get More Superstore on 2nd Street in Hastings. And we are here with a 60-3 score. You talk about a super store, we got a super score here if you're a Gildner fan. 57-point bulge for the Hornets. Came in and out of this season undefeated. They only punted. I never saw them. We were driving over, and Gene Beerbaum, what am I? What are you? You're a staff ipso facto.
Just an IR,
our color commentator and stat man alongside tonight said, do you know how many times Gildner punted all season long? I said 3, and it turned out to be 2.
That's a whole season. That's incredible. When you
needless to say, they've not punted tonight with a 60-3 score. Needless to say, we'll have a running clock coming out in the second half, and we'll also have a bunch of names by the end of the game that did not appear in the first half. But let me try and get you up to date on how all the scoring happened. Gildner, with less than 8.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, drew first blood with a 10-yard Sean Finley run. That capped a 55-yard drive and made it 8-0. Dorchester had to punt. Gildner got the ball back at the 49 of their own 49. Drove it 51 yards. Sean Finley capped the scoring there with another run, this time of 5 yards. And the score was 14-0 because the two-point extra was not made. That is only one of two that they didn't make tonight. And really the only two flaws in the game. Otherwise, it would have been 8 times 8, 64 from second-grade arithmetic. 60 yards was the third drive. And that was capped with a 40-yard. 40 of those 60 yards came on the arm of Sean Finley in the reception of Luke Richards. And with the PAT, it became 22-0. And then things got ugly. Gildner took over at the 25-yard line of Dorchester after Dorchester fumbled a kickoff and quickly added six more and made it 28-0, and a two-point conversion made it 30-0. A four-yard run by Eastman later on made it 36-0. That was the only other score where they didn't get the two-point PAT, because a little later on, just into the second period, Gildner scored again. And on a 24-yard Gabe Harmon run that time, two-point conversion was good. So with 9:37 to go in the half, it was 44-0. In the last 9:34, they added another 16 points, two touchdowns, and two extra points, and got it up to where we are right now at 60. That was a Gabe Harmon run, 1 yard run that time with a 52-0 score. And then a 48-yard drive with the Eastman capping it on an 11-yard run made it 60-0. Dorchester took over at their own 20-yard line and drove the ball down to the 15-yard line or thereabouts of Gildner, and surprisingly set up for a field goal, and did so potentially because maybe Sid Stern, who is a senior, get his name in the record books, is having scored some playoff points for Dorchester. Certainly nothing spiteful or anything like that, but there is an unusual for two reasons. It isn't often when you're down by 60-0 that you try for a field goal, and second of all, in D2, there just aren't that many field goals attempted. In eight-man football, the blocking pattern is such that you can spread out your defense and still come at the special team kicker. But there's only so many men you can spread out to still have snapping the ball and holding the ball on offense. So that's why you just don't see that much kicking in D2. It isn't so much that kids in D2 can't physically kick the football. It's just executing. You got three people tied up already in centering the ball, in holding the ball, and then kicking the ball. You only got five other people to block. Meanwhile, the other guy's got eight people to rush. So the percentages are just not with the place-kicking game in D2, but they executed it really nicely.
Yeah, they did. And that's been the only bright spot on their first half for them.
Well, in fact, we're sitting here spending better part of 3 minutes talking about a field goal. Yeah, that's it. Because with Gildner, frankly, it's kind of like the smart kid in the family. You expect him to have straight A's. You expect Gildner to come up and show up for these playoff games, and they've done a great job tonight. And some spectacular statistics. We'll get into that when we take a break and come back with more on the Allens of Hastings Halftime Report on The Breeze, 94.5 FM. Again, your halftime score, Gildner 60, Dorchester 3, back in a couple of minutes.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends Open House Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more. Located 5 miles west of Giltner. For more information, call 631-1052.
Harb's Farm Supply Incorporated in Giltner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harb's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harbsfarmsupply.com, for more information.
In Giltner, stop by and see your friendly insurance agents at Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw Insurance specializes in crop, farm, property, and casualty. For a free consultation, stop by the Giltner office or give them a call. Robert Shaw Insurance.
The Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner is a proud sponsor of all Giltner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner.
This is Bob Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk Anniversary Sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan, where you get savings and service.
Are you ready for a great deal?
There's nothing more American than football. Advantage Chevrolet sacks the competition with savings. Advantage Chevrolet, 1111 M Street in Aurora. The first place you think of, the last place you'll stop.
Ellen's, the You Get More Superstore. Check out the Food Mart, Wine Cellar, Pharmacy, Husker Shop, and Sporting Goods. Plus a whole lot more. Allen's Photoshop now has state-of-the-art inkjet photo technology with unsurpassed color and clarity. Allen's develops 35mm true black and white and slide film. Plus produces in-store prints from wallets to 40 by 60-inch posters. 1115 West 2nd Hastings. Allen's, the You Get More Superstore. Check us out online with weekly specials at allensuperstore.com.
We're the You Get More Superstore.
The Breeze, 94.5.
Farm is alongside tonight. We got some individual stats, and someone tells me they favor Giltner.
You know, sometimes they say stats don't always tell the story.
Yeah.
In this case, they tell the story.
They do.
I mean, Giltner's got 128 yards rushing, 211 yards passing. He was 14 of 15. Finley was in that first half. On the other side, the ball, Dorchester. They have a minus three in rushing, and a couple of them were, it was a bad snap, but they've lost a lot of yards too, just on regular plays and passing. He's 4 out of 12 and 42 yards there. And that all came basically on two passes, one for 30 and one for 15. And I mean, they're just, right now, Giltner's just a better ball team. I mean, there's no way you can deny that. I mean, when you're up 60 to three and, oh, you know, I mean, there's not much you can say. Dorchester's punted seven times, and as we were talking about before we went to the break, there, Giltner hasn't had a punt, and which is nothing to be surprised by, because when you only punt twice during the year, you don't expect the punt in this game.
There you go. I'll tell you one thing: we will be supplying a liberal number of scores during the play-by-play of the second half, because obviously at this point there won't be a lot of game-changing moments, I don't think. Now, we're not going to ignore the game on the field, obviously, but we will fill in the blanks on some of these scores. But let me start by saying that Overton is leading North Central by a 47-20 margin. Newman is leading Fairbury 19-0 in the second period. Norfolk Catholic has a 30-0 lead on Wayne. Aquinas over UTAN, 38-0. Let's see here. What else do we have? Blue Hill, I think I mentioned, is now 19 points on top of Kearney Catholic. Try that again. They have 19. Kearney Catholic now has 7. So actually their lead has diminished from 16-12. Hardington Central Catholic losing to Bergen 40-0. Tri-County over Stanton 48-6. And that was a final in overtime. No, that can't be right.
48-6?
No, try that again. My texts are running together. Lincoln Lutheran beat Tecama Herman 13-7. That was a final in overtime. Central Catholic leads Battle Creek 42-38. That's late fourth. Loomis over Medicine Valley 20-0. Alma is leading Shelton 24-0. And as I said, Overton leads North Central by a 47-0 score. Ravenna leads, Ravenna's tied with Chase County now, 13-all. And Selma Myrna losing to Eustace Farnham 27-6 at halftime. St. Paul 13, Minden 7 at the half. And I think that brings you up to speed on the partials that we have. Donovan Trumbull 10, Sutton 8 at the half. Cambridge 37, Superior 14, that's after 3. Pawnee City 58, Hampton nothing. And that I said there I think we are probably up to speed on all the partials that we can give you. We'll have a scoreboard show on Classic Hits 98.9 after this game at about 9:30. In the meantime, this has been the Allens of Hastings Halftime Report coming to you from Giltner. Allens of Hastings, your You Get More Superstore. Dorchester will have to give the ball back to Giltner as they won the opening toss and received, and now they're going to have to kick off in the second half. I think we'll keep it right here. When you ever get one of those Sunday afternoons or after work sometime and you're just cruising around and you want to say, let's go find some place to eat, let us recommend for you the Sitting Bull Saloon. They said over pizza in the first half.
Not that we were there.
We weren't there, but I got to tell you, that is some of the best pizza you're ever going to find. So if you haven't been to Giltner or the Sitting Bull, you know, I can't tell you exactly what their hours are, but, you know, if you're out for a drive sometime, stop by. You won't regret that one. Thanks, guys, for sending that over. We were fainting from hunger.
Yeah, right.
Kickoff, and Dorchester puts the clock to start here with Luke Richards taking the opening kickoff. He's got a lane. He's out to the 38-yard line on the opening kickoff. Luke Richards got a head of steam and got up until he's knocked down by Sid Stern. And so it is 60-3, and Giltner has the ball in good field position near midfield at about the 38-yard line, 37-yard line, we'll call it.
Who was the one that always used to say that they had the, when you were given those partial scores, always remind me of the, I can't remember some announcer or somebody said, I got the partial score 14.
14. Well, we get these scores via text message. And if you've ever gotten text messages, you know, sometimes they're not as coherent as you'd like them to be. Shotgun, and we've got a new quarterback in there. It's still a Finley, but it's a different one. Handoff goes to Gabe Harmon. He dances around, gets down to the 30-yard line and fumbles the ball. The new quarterback is Jacob Findlay. He is a sophomore. And I'm going to ask somebody here is Jacob Findlay the brother of Sean? I'm going to find out. Obviously, there's some familial relationship there, but I don't assume what that is.
Well, that was a nice 12-yard run and then fumbled.
That was a fumble. That is the second turnover, actually, on Giltner tonight. They had a bad break on a special teams play in the first half. So that fumble ends it, and Dorchester will take over. We got a running clock now, or at least we should have, with a 35-plus point lead here. Handoff goes to the tailback, and that is Colton Casper, and he'll be stopped right at the line of scrimmage. Casper is stopped there by Rath and Ott. It's a common occurrence.
Well, you just give them about a half yard now. They do have their starters in there on defense right now. They did.
Anchoring the middle of the line is Austin Dodson again, and he is kind of a game right ankle, it looks like. But he's been pretty mobile up and down the line. Look at the size of that front line. And off again, this time Sid Stern comes to the near side and immediately coming up, and maybe you even heard that hit. Luke Richards came up, and you could hear the pads cracking on that one. And he stopped it after about a 3-yard gain, so it'll be third down and 7 yards to go as Giltner defending that 60-3 lead.
You know,
and a running clock here.
For Giltner, it's kind of one of those situations for the coach. You know, and I think he mentioned it earlier, they haven't played. Their starters haven't played full games. You know,
now as a coach, Jeff Ashby, you've got to figure, okay, now, what's stupid? I mean, how long do you want to leave your starters in, risk injury and that? But then again,
you got to kind of keep them in the group because they're going to get better and better as the competition goes along. Long downfield pass intended down there for the receiver, Jeremy Enderlead, and he's covered, bracketed, actually, by Findlay and also Hawthorne.
Very good.
That falls incomplete. Fourth down and 7 yards to go for Dorchester. And a punting situation is indicated here for Suizo.
Just not able to take advantage of that fumble by Gildner. Gildner is just, and the coach said, you know, that was defense was their strong point, and they've been showing it tonight.
Nice kick. Hawthorne almost takes it over his head, but pulls it down and has to fall back at the 15-yard line, but he definitely steals the ball, and Gildner will get it first and 10 at their 15-yard line, and that'll be the first possession for Gildner here in the second half with 8:41 to go, third period clock.
I'm surprised. Okay, they got the clock running. I thought it was supposed to be a continuous clock. And
There's a few exceptions. We've had a running gag about that. It's like it almost seems like it stops more, but it doesn't really. Hand off is to, again, Eastman. Eastman winds his way all the way up to nearly the 35-yard line. They're going to give him the 35 and maybe a little bit more than that. No, they aren't either. His knee is down at the 34-yard line. But a nice give-and-go there to Eastman. And so now instead of at the 15-yard line, they're all the way out to the 34. And a 19-yard pickup there on first down by Eastman.
That was just a nice hard run.
They didn't stop the clock on the chains that time, so I think we're observing most of the running clock.
I forgot about it, too. That was the first time.
Yeah. Men on either side of Findlay. Jacob Findlay is the quarterback now. He goes option right side. He's got a man, and Hawthorne takes it down the right sideline inside the 35 to about the 31-yard line. As Kyle Hawthorne is in there now, it's kind of a wing-back, wide receiver, running back sort of situation. Took the pitch on the right side. And it brings up a first down and 10 for Gildner now, driving on their first possession of the second half.
That was
second possession of the second half. Jacob Findlay is in at quarterback. The first possession was ended by the fumble. I forgot that.
That's a nice executed option again. Just pitched it at the very last. And
two men in the backfield with Findlay. One wide out to the left side is Dylan Hendricks, and the handoff goes to the right side off tackle. And a gain of about 5 yards there, coming up off the bottom of the
Harmon was the run.
Harmon, Gabe Harmon. You know, they don't have a lot of drop-off between Harmon and Eastman. Eastman is technically the starter, but Harmon goes in there and
they're just quick.
Does a nice job as well.
Very quick.
Jacob Findlay, standing about 7 yards back of the center, calls out the signal as he puts one man in motion. Take the handoff.
Now they get to Harmon.
Harmon loses the football, and for the second drive in a row of the second half, Gildner coughs it up on a fumble, and Dorchester will get it back at Dorchester approximately 32-yard line. Now, they got the fumble turnover last time, but couldn't do anything with it. They had to punt it away.
Well, the quarterback, Finley's getting high snaps, and he's jumping for him, and the back, by the time he gets down and tries to give it off to the back, it was kind of not a clean handoff, and that was what part of the fumble problem was.
At an I formation, Sidstern dots the I, gets the pitch, goes left side, got a convoy in front of him, and picks up about 4 yards as he gets out to the 33 or 4 yard line. It'll bring up second down and 6 yards to go. Well, a little better than that. Second down, and yeah, that's about right. About 6 yards to go as they settle on a spot for the football. We'll have the after the Kearney Catholic Blue Hill game, we're going to have the game two of the World Series on ESPN tonight yet, too, as well. San Francisco is the location for the late start anyhow.
Well, that was a high-scoring game last night.
When they had that kind of goes, throws good pitch and beats good hitting out the window. Offset eye. Hand off Stern. Stern tries to find a place and does cut back, falls forward for a yard or two. Still gets up only to about the 34-yard line of Dorchester.
and the running clock runs down under five right now in the third. Third down coming with 4 yards to go on a beautiful night for football. The next round of games is November 3rd, next Wednesday, day after Election Day. And I hope the weather continues to stay pretty much on our side. Slots on the right side. Flag is down. And we won't know what those slot receivers were going to do because they're going to call it. And I think they're going to mark Gilder back 5 yards on an offside.
And that gives Dorchester a first down.
Here's some scores from a little farther out. Arapahoe beat Burwell 60-46. That's our second 90-plus point game today here, Gene. Now, Northwest St. Pat's 51 over Cross County. Nothing late in the ball game. Handoff. This time Colton Casper gets it again, and he's going to be stood up at the line of scrimmage. And that'll bring up second down, about 8 yards to go. Okay, here's some more scores. Central Catholic has defeated Battle Creek 45-35 now. Cambridge beats Superior 45-21. Overton leads North Central 47-20. That is at the half. Newman 19. Fairbury nothing at the half. Norfolk Central Catholic 30. Wayne nothing. Snap, handoff, Stern goes right side, nowhere. Giltner did a great job of stringing it out. Rath is over there. At the bottom of the pile, however, defensively is Trevor Poppin again.
They lost 4 yards on that one.
Donovan leading Sutton 23-8. That's after three quarters. Perkins County over Hershey 13-0. Minden is just ahead of St. Paul 14-13 now. They came
back.
That's
a good game going down there.
That's a good game going down there. You can listen to that one on 98.9 FM with Doug Dune and Tony Davis as well.
Yeah, third and 12 now.
Under center with a wing back to the right side, a slot back, firing over in the flat. It's complete, but not near enough for a first down. The completion goes to a new guy, Alex Lysik. Running back comes out of the backfield. Completed for only about 2 yards, wrapping on the tackle there. So that will be a fourth down. And I don't know if a punt is indicated or not at this point.
Well,
maybe not.
Makes you wonder. They
know they're facing a Giltner reserve squad that has coughed it up twice, so maybe they're going to give it a go here, and it looks like they will.
Giltner's got the main linebackers in there, though. Otten and
fires middle screen again. Sid Stern's got it. He should have the first down. He's got plenty of space in front of him. But coming up right at the sticks with the tackle is Sean Findlay. And now it's debatable whether he got across that. He did just barely. But I'll tell you what, Findlay recovered. He came up and gave him a pop right at the first down marker. And after it looked like he should have the first down, it was questionable, but they ended up giving him the first down. Nice defensive hit there by Findlay. Nice effort by Sid Stern to get it, because you could see that he had enough momentum and enough daylight to get the first down. And Findlay coming out of nowhere brought that into question at the last microsecond. Minute 27 to go. Speaking of microseconds here, the clock shrinks this one down to a quicker ball game. A running clock. Back to pass. Looking around, being pressured by Rath. Fires across the middle, complete to Stern. Little or no gain, though. Maybe a half a yard gain. As Brandon Schwissel fired out.
He actually fumbled right at the end, too, but the ref give him his forward progress and said the play was stopped, and we got 50 seconds left to go here. I don't know if they'll probably get this play off yet.
50 seconds to go, third period of play. It was 60-3 at halftime, so we came out of this halftime with a running clock, and Giltner has not done themselves any good, fumbled it away twice. Back to pass, Schwissau fires across the middle, got it in and out of his hands. Jordan Jensen had it for the first down and then dropped it. Fourth down is coming with about 10 yards to go still.
And that's one he should have had. It was
good pass right in the old bread basket, as they say, and that's too bad. Dorchester could have used a little momentum going here. We got 10 seconds left. I think Dorchester's going to let it run. Third and 10.
They came out with a game plan of controlling the tempo to the point of, if you didn't hear the early going, their quarterback, Brandon Schwissau, came up and literally stood at the line of scrimmage and watched the game clock as it drained down. And their thing was, let's keep the ball as many seconds on the clock as we can and keep it out of Giltner's hands. Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
I think they did enough of it.
Scored about four in a row on them and brought a 60-3 halftime lead. We haven't seen too much of that delay since that time. So that is the end of the third. Let's take a 30-second timeout, back in a half minute with the fourth quarter on The Breeze, 94.5 FM, KLIQFM.com. 60-3 is your score. Giltner ahead of Dorchester.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
Don't miss Country Crafts and Friends Open House Thursday, November 11th through November 14th. You'll find handmade crafts, fresh wreaths, homemade food, jewelry, Santas, and more. Located 5 miles west of Giltner. For more information, call 631-1052.
The Breeze, 94.5.
Shotgun formation, Schwissau fires downfield after the rollout is picked off by Giltner. Defensively, Giltner's kind of stayed in there with first stringers. Gabe Harmon, I believe, leaped up and got that one and came down with it. And now Giltner will come back on the field. Sean Finley is staying on the field. I think this deep in Dorchester territory, or rather this deep in their own territory, they may...
9-yard line, aren't they?
Yeah, they may want to keep the veterans in there. So, and this is actually a pretty good experience for playoff games down the line when they may be in these kinds of situations. And so Sean Finley and Drew Ott is back in there. Finley's got the ball. Keeps it option right side. Gabe Harmon got some running room. Got a seam off to the 35-yard. Forced out of bounds by Kyle Paulke at the 35. So they go from about their own 9-yard line all the way out to the 35. So a lesson learned there by Giltner on how to get out of their territory. And now they pull the starters again and put reserves back in for Giltner.
That's hard running, though. I mean, he broke about 2-3 tackles. He got hit. I think we saw that in a Nebraska game a few weeks ago where they were hitting him, you know, on the thighs, trying to knock him down, and he'd just spin around, and he just kept going hard running.
Well, no matter what level, you better wrap him up. No doubt about that. Okay, now Jacob Finley is back in as the quarterback. He's got a myriad of reserves back with him. They fake it to one man, then give it to the end who kind of cut back in from the right side. That's Garrett Poppin. He's only a freshman, 5'11", 151, but the freshman takes the ball and turns it up north-south and gets about 5 or 6 yards, second down and 4 yards to go. It's a running clock, and so we won't be stopping for much other than
penalties or score?
Scores, penalties, and injuries and regular timeouts, I guess.
Yeah, penalties and scores, but and they set the end.
Man in motion coming this way is Hawthorne, and Hawthorne in on offense is smacked as he gets to the 35-yard line of Dorchester, but that was after about a 3-4 yard gain. It's third down and about the length of a football to go for the first down.
Actually, his own man is about as hard as he was blocking for him, and the pile.
At this particular location and where they are in the field, we got pretty good proximity with the windows wide open here at Giltner at the press box, and a very nice press box, by the way. We can hear a lot of hitting going on, and there's some pops, and that was one of them.
Yep.
They're gonna measure it.
Having the reserves in there didn't slow up the action here. They're hitting pretty hard.
And they're going to be shy by about the length of a football.
Yeah.
So it will be third in the length of a football to go for Giltner, up 60-3. And in the hands of the reserves right now, except for when they're in deep trouble, which where they were a moment ago, they brought in the starters.
starters took the snap at the 9-yard line, put it out to the 34, and then said to the underclassmen, here, kids, have fun. Don't stay out too late.
Yeah.
Shotgun, Jacob Finley, option left side, doesn't even get the pitch off. He'll get buried there. He'll get buried there by, let's see here, Russ Barrick. And it'll be fourth down for Gilner.
And lost
5 yards to go.
He lost having a little breakdown in the block in that time, but tell you what, the Dorchester's got some pretty good sized guys on the line yet, and Gilner just subbed them in. They're smaller guys, so.
Hawthorne wide right, Hendricks wide left, quick kick for Gilner. And it is a nice little pooch, gets down inside the 10 to the 9-yard line. So it's fourth down, but they did not go into punt formation. They spread it out, and then the quarterback,
my gosh,
Finley, pooched it down inside the 10. He gets a nice pat from Sean Finley, the starting quarterback, and he's going to go back in on defense.
So history, tonight. We saw a punt.
Yeah. Yeah, Gil, that's right. One more, and they've equaled their season total in one game. You know what? That's even unusual, because even with reserves and still only having two punts during the regular season,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And that was one of those quick punts. I mean, they weren't in punt position.
Yeah,
they were just
exactly. Back to pass, firing incomplete. Complete to about the 7-yard line from the 7-yard line out to about 12-yard line, I should say, for Dorchester. It'll be second down and a strong 6 yards to go. That completion was to Michael Wade, I believe. Getting a couple of subs in here for Dorchester. Alec Lysak is back in. He played a little bit earlier. They go the inside handoff, and the big running back is pulled down. That's Russ Barrick again, and he'll be pulled down for about a 3-yard loss as he tried to skirt the left side, and coming up and putting the smack on him was Luke Richards. And it'll be third down and 10 for Dorchester, deep in their own territory, inside their own 10. Clock at 7:15 to go in this one. We'll give you a summary of scores when we complete this game, and then our sister station, 98.9, will have Platte River Preps coming up about 9:30 after that St. Paul-Minden game is done on 98.9 FM. And KKPR.com if you're listening in on the Internet.
Timeout.
Timeout taken by Dorchester. We'll take 30 here. That'll stop the clock.
Yeah.
Your score is 60-3. Gildner on top of Dorchester, back in a half minute on The Breeze, 94.5 FM and KLIQFM.com.
The Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Gildner is a proud sponsor of all Gildner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Gildner.
Harb's Farm Supply Incorporated in Gildner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harb's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harbsfarmsupply.com, for more information.
The Breeze, 94.5.
Still Gildner 60 and Dorchester 3. And it is 6:50 to go in this ball game. Dorchester, time back in now. Single setback, Stern. They fake it to him, back to pass. And firing long downfield and almost intercepted. Goes through the hands of Luke Richards and almost taken by the intended receiver, Jeremy Enderlead, as Brandon Schwisso just unloaded downfield. He showed a pretty good arm there, but that was more a Hail Mary than a planned completion, I think. That was a hope for completion.
Player hurt here.
And that's not good. That is Sid Stern, who has had a good ball game tonight, despite being a 57-point deficit. He's had a good ball game. Sid Stern, and he also put three on the board for Dorchester. He's the young man that we noticed in the pregame drills and was drilling it through the uprights as a kicker. And now he's up. He'll be all right. He's all right.
Awesome.
But he's got to go off the field at least for a point.
That's good to see. You know, when a game is decided and they're still playing, you just hope that nobody gets hurt.
That's a tough deal. You know, only deeper into the playoffs will you find out how well the Giltner coaching staff has handled the issue of how long you leave your reserves in, how long do you keep your regulars in, how soon do you put your reserves in and still keep the regulars.
It's a matter of keeping them in shape.
Yeah, exactly. Kick from the end zone. Fair catch by Hawthorne at the 38-yard line of Giltner. So they're going to get it back here. We have had zero score changes in the second half as Giltner will
lag down here. I thought I saw something, but the players are in the road, so I can't see it laying out. Oh, yeah, there it is. It's out of bounds. I'm not sure what that's holding, I think.
So Giltner, the initial placement is at the Giltner's 38-yard line. And we'll see whether or not there's a penalty that will vary that spot. I don't see any. Oh, yeah, there they are. They're talking. Got a couple of referees standing over there in the vicinity of Jeff Ashby, the Giltner coach. And they're discussing.
I saw the holding call, but just not on who.
This will stop the clock at 6.5 to go in the ball game. And they're really having a debate.
I tell you what.
It's like an election year debate right down there.
Yeah, right. There's no mud flying in the air, so it can't be an election type debate.
The one guy's saying, I'm not a witch. All right. We still don't know. Now they're breaking it up. Okay, now we're going to. There's a finger point and a referee walking out to the other. Striped shirts, talking to the umpire. And they're going to move it back. A hold is going to be called against Giltner. You had it right there, Gene. It just took them a while to catch up with you. So instead of starting it at their 38-yard line, that's going to put it back to the 28-yard line.
So
Giltner gets it at their 28, not their 38, because of the hold. And still, first and 10, that doesn't affect down and distance at all, since it's a specialty teams play. Dustin Hastings goes out as a wide receiver to the left side. Jacob Findlay is still the quarterback. This is how they come in with quarterbacks every year. The reserve gets a lot of snaps.
Yeah, for sure.
Shotgun, handoff. And the running back, Garrett Poppin, takes it for about 2-3 yards. That time he was lined up as a running back and not an end, which is where he was last time he took the ball. Giltner has a very interesting offense.
Yeah, they do.
They will run the ball from various locations with various people, and it's got to be a tough thing defensively, as you can tell by their margin of victory. Again, in the shotgun, 5:40 on the clock. Hand off once again to Poppin, and he will spin across the 35 and gets nice yardage.
Got a good
shot
spot,
of the first down. And
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's going to be about. Oh, they're going to give it to him. I'll tell you what, that chain gang is trained. Don't hesitate.
Don't mess with
that
chain
gang. Better to apologize and seek permission so they run ahead and give him the first down.
Yeah.
And no one's calling him back on that, so they get it out to the 39-yard line. Remember, they started at the 28, so that'd be right. They got it by about a yard.
Yeah, it was a good spot. But tell you what, that's the fastest chain gang I've seen.
Yeah, they are quick.
You get the reputation for the fastest chain gang in the West.
Shotgun, handoff, Poppin puts the shoulder pads down. He gouges out enough almost for another first down. We'll see where the spot is there. Chain gang, what do you say?
Yeah,
they haven't decided yet. They're staying still.
Yeah,
they know there's about a half a yard to go there on that. And,
I think they might measure this. I don't think they're going to measure this one. He's short. It's going to be just by inches. I think he might have. Can't see it on the other side. He might have it.
4:38 on the clock. Officially, we're in a running clock, but measurements, timeouts taken by the coaches, injuries, of which we've had all three here in the second half, do stop the clock.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, they're going to nose it right close there. First down.
By an inch.
Wow. And so the chain gang will move down another 10 yards.
I don't know if it's true or not. Do they get track shoes on over there? They know they were doing that.
Before the ball game, Jeff Ashby and his staff came out, and they had got to hand the ball off to Poppin again, and he just again puts his shoulder down and blazes ahead. He knocks Mike Clement back off of his feet as he falls back on defense. They were kidding Jeff Ashby and his assistants. They came out in sweater vests, and they said, "Who do you think you are, Russell?"
Yeah, that's the Ohio State.
Always, and he always wears that tie with the
sweater vest.
But now as you look down there, they've kind of gotten away from that. They're a little bit more of a cooler fall look to them. Hand off again. This is Poppin again, and Poppin is again going to get the first down, and then some. Five touchdown, Poppin. Garrett Poppin, the freshman, got some carries, and with each carry, you could see he was developing some more confidence. And that time, he had a nice run in from about the 25-yard line.
Wow, freshman, that kid runs hard.
He does. He's a tall kid, and you know he hangs a few pounds on him, and he'll be a formidable running back.
He lowered his head, and he's hit some guys hard.
He has.
And he's
shotgun for the two. Fakes it to pop in. Option pitch to Hendricks' right side. Dances around. Is he going to get in there? I don't think so. No, he's shy by about a half yard.
Bad pitch.
And so it was a slow-developing play and no two-point conversion, but six more on the board for Giltner, and it is 66-3. 3:40 to go in this one, and we will take a half-minute timeout. It'll be Giltner. How many kickoffs do they have? About seven more than they had punts the entire season. That's what they've had. We'll take a break. We'll be back around the corner with the kickoff from Giltner. The score is 66-3. Hornets in control.
The representatives of the Village of Giltner encourage and support the Giltner Hornets in all of their activities. To succeed, you must believe that you can. Good luck, Hornets, in all that you strive to accomplish from the Village of Giltner.
Delcom in Giltner is your electrical data networking security systems thermal communications provider for everything from imaging, industrial electrical, PLC programming, process control, audio, and video work. Delcom in Giltner, your source for data electrical communications.
The Breeze, 94.5.
I don't think so. Oh, okay. Okay.
And the kickoff.
Handover and kickoff is taken at about the 30-yard line. Knee goes down, though, and that's where they're going to stop him. That was Alex Lysak on that. They were just informed that, let's see here, we're looking at the brackets here. Bloomfield is going to be the team that Giltner probably plays next. And
Bloomfield and Clarkson winners.
We'll
try to find that score.
Try and see if we can get that. You might, Steph, our engineer back at the station, if you want to effort that. We're looking for Bloomfield-Clarkson.
Bloomfield-Clarkson.
So if you want to see whether or not maybe Merritt has that over in the Kearney studios, that'd be a good thing. The first play of the drive goes for about a yard for Dorchester. We're going to crack down underneath 3 minutes to go in this here in just a little bit. Kender beat Randolph 56-8. Donovan Trumbull leading Sutton 17-8. Greenwood leading Columbus Scotus 7. No, that's a final now, 17-7. Ashland, Greenwood.
Had about a 9-yard carry here, Craig. Trying to see who the ball carrier is. Dorchester, number 31.
St. Paul has come back down 19-14 over Minden in the fourth. All right, Giltner is giving up its first down in quite a while here on that 9-yard carry. by Dorchester, and the handoff again goes to Dorchester straight up the middle. And that is Russ Barrick again coming off the bottom of the pile. Check that. Rick Palke on the run there, 28, not 38. And now Stillwagon is the up man. They pitch it to the right side. A little bit of a cutback, a little bit of a spin, and about a three-yard gain for Riley Zahorek. Riley is a 5'6", 120-pound freshman who came into the ball game a play or two ago. And it's third down and five. As the clock drains away mercifully for Dorchester on this 66-3 kick it out. They're going to stop the clock on that.
Well, this game might have been over in a little bit, but an injured player just kind of, again, we just hope that they're not seriously hurt. He's sitting up, and maybe it's just a cramp.
Thanks so much to the Giltner area, to the Donovan area sponsors who make these games possible. It sure is a pleasure. It has been the last 2-3 years to come here to Giltner and watch some excellent football from some excellent football teams. We had the pleasure of watching Nate Most put a lot of yards in the record books, and Sean Finley took over this year, and they didn't lose a whole lot as far as effectiveness, just a little different way. Handoff again goes to the running back who gets the first down and then a little bit more. That's Brandon Stillwagon, the fullback who rumbles across to the first down marker. And I will say this about the Giltner chain gang. They're as quick the other way as they are for Giltner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's we wouldn't, I wouldn't insinuate they were doing anything. They're just, I'm just, but you know, when you got a, you get used to it. If you got a team that doesn't huddle and they just come to the line and call the play and go.
Handoff goes to Lysak, goes around the right side, picks up a few more yards as the clock kick ticks down to under 55 seconds. And barring a score, an injury, a timeout, it would appear that we may be within a play or two of ending this one. Dorchester has not put a point on the board in the second half. They only put three out in the first half, down 66-3. Stillwagon gets the carry, and he's going to get carried back. He's met at the line of scrimmage by a host of Giltner Hornets, including Trevor Cates, a reserve into the ballgame now at defensive end. Trevor started the season when they made up his roster. He's only 5'5", 159. He's a freshman. But a lot of reserves getting some time here. 13, 12 seconds to go. Again, the handoff goes to the reserve running back. Ball is out. I don't know who fell on it there. The running back was Zahorek.
And the game is over.
Giltner, I don't even, I guess it's a moot point as to who fell on it because time just expired. And your final score is Giltner 66 and Dorchester 3. We'll come back with some scores from around the region, some partials and some finals, and try and check ahead on the brackets here for Giltner when we return on the Breeze, 94.5 FM.
JSGK Catering in Giltner has catered everywhere from cornfields to wedding receptions. Give us a try at your next occasion. Call 402-849-2244. Steve and Kathy Hosier and Jack and Gail Rath wish the Giltner athletes the best of luck from JSGK Catering.
All of us at Honeycutt Farms are proud of Giltner and all the Giltner students. Best of luck from Brandon and Lisa, Daryl and Joe, and Zach and Ann. And we wish the Giltner team the best of luck and continued success in the future.
In Giltner, stop by and see your friendly insurance agents at Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw Insurance specializes in crop, farm, property, and casualty. For a free consultation, stop by the Giltner office or give them a call. Robert Shaw Insurance.
Todd's Body and Glass in Aurora is your collision repair specialist, is proud to support the Giltner Hornets. Play well and be proud from Todd's Body and Glass.
There's nothing more American than football. Advantage Chevrolet sacks the competition with savings. Advantage Chevrolet, 1111 M Street in Aurora. The first place you think of, the last place you'll stop.
This is Bob Sherwood. I have made the choice to feature Mohawk flooring in my store because of the quality and the value. I think you'll like the choices along with the special anniversary pricing. The Mohawk Anniversary Sale is on now at B&B Carpet and Donovan, where you get savings and service.
Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated in Giltner, the home of Bish Built Products, is your harvest needs headquarters and the manufacturer of custom-made corn and row crop heads, the original Bish head changers, the Bish bin, and Bish corn head trash reel. Harv's Farm Supply Incorporated. Visit the website, harvsfarmsupply.com, for more information.
The Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner is a proud sponsor of all Giltner athletics. Don't miss homemade pizza every Thursday through Saturday night and many other menu items. Keep your pockets full when you fill your belly at the Sitting Bull Saloon in downtown Giltner.
The Breeze, 94.5.
Well, looking ahead here, it's going to be Giltner hosting a game next week. Brookfield was the winner by a 28-22 margin, again, thanks to Steph and our staff back at the KLIQ studios for getting that score to us. And so looking at the brackets here, it will be Giltner staying at home again. They're the number two seed. They had a home game, and so did Bloomfield. So Bloomfield beat Clarkson 28-22, and Giltner will host the second round. And I suspect we'll be back here on Wednesday, November 3rd, with the Hornets' second round game against Bloomfield. Bloomfield ended the regular season at 5-3 and started the first round of the playoffs with that 28-22 win over Clarkson. Giltner, of course, handling Dorchester here 66-3. Looming down the line here, Howells is in the same bracket this year as is Giltner. But in pregame conversations, the money around here seems to be that Humphrey St. Francis may be the team to look at as far as potentially a Giltner playoff opponent farther down the line. Of course, you got to play the quarterfinals before you get to the semis and the finals in your bracket anyhow. But it's always fun to play that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Always it was 60-3 at the half. Here's a recap of how the scoring happened, and then Gene will give you some individual stats. Giltner scored early and often, and they started it out with about 9:47 to go in the first. 10-yard Sean Findlay run, capping a 55-yard drive. Then a 5-yard Sean Findlay run, capped a 51-yard drive. They missed the extra point on that one, so it was 14-0. A 60-yard drive, capped with a 40-yard pass from Findlay to Richardson, made it 22-0. The ensuing kickoff was fumbled. Hornets got it back. A 25-yard Findlay to Ottaf capped that one 30-0. Then the Hornets scored again. This time it was a 4-yard Eastman run, 36-0. That was only the second TD of the night where they didn't get the 2-point conversion. Gabe Harmon had a 24-yard run, made it 44-0, and that was with about 9:37 to go in the half. Harmon had another 1-yard run about 2 minutes later, made it 52-0. Then with less than 2 minutes to go, Giltner scored again, a 48-yard drive. Eastman capped it with an 11-yard run. It was 60-0 with a minute 45 or thereabouts on the clock. Dorchester took over, and with 3 seconds on the clock, set up and completed, executed about a 20-yard field goal, 30 yards to be attacked on the end zone, 30-yard field goal. And it was a nice field goal, but it was way too little, way too late. 60-3 was the halftime score, and we had the Giltner reserves tack on 6 more points, a nice 25-yard run by a future comer, a freshman by the name of Garrett Poppin, who ran for 25 yards and popped a few people in the drive leading up to that. 66-3, the final score. And so Giltner, after a perfect 8-0 regular season, is now 9-0 year to date and 1-0 in the Young Playoffs. Gene?
Well, you know, you mentioned Garrett Poppin. He had 55 yards in that second half. Not bad for a freshman runner. And he runs hard.
Yeah.
And the stats didn't change a whole lot from first half to second half, as you expect with a running clock and that. But, you know, your leading rusher for Giltner, of course, was Eastman. He had 83 at the half, and he ran the ball one time in the second half for 19. So he finished up with 102 yards. And then that Harmon had 68 total for the game, and then we had that freshman Poppin coming in with 55. But their total rushing for the game was right at 258 yards.
Thank you.
Passing, they were 14 of 15, and that was all the first half. And they had 211 yards passing there for Giltner. So, you know, they're right at 460-70 yards there for the game as total yards. And Dorchester, you know, it was a dismal game for them. It's not what they expected or to do.
It's not what they hoped for. I think that expectations beyond the locker room walls of Dorchester were probably about where we ended up. But talking to the guys down on the field and listening to the pregame, I mean, they had to take it as a brand-new season. They had to take it one snap at a time. It looked like they came out with a plan, the plan being a slow-tempo ground game interspersed with a pass here and there, and it just didn't work. I mean, you know.
And to finish up with their stats, they had about 44 yards rushing and 8 of 20 passing for 59 yards. But, you know, one thing the coach for Giltner had mentioned in his, Jeff Ashby had mentioned in his interview, you know, that he said they might try to do something different. To me, what it looked like they did different is pass more. I mean, they were 14 of 15. They passed 15 times for the season. They looked like they passed about 36 times. So they put a lot more passing in this game than they have all year long. I mean, they passed just for 600 yards total for the season, and they had 211 tonight. So,
well, you know, again, there you go. It's a matter of the report card on the coaching staff of a team. The quality of Giltner really comes out when you get into the brackets, because during the regular season, it's always a guessing game as to how long do you keep your starters in, when do you put your reserves in, and then looking down the line on the brackets, when might you need to turn on that passing game, and did you practice it enough in game situations? This could have been a situation where they're looking at the brackets now. And remember, the brackets have only been out since Saturday. So I mean, they only knew who their opponent was going to be since Saturday mid-morning.
Right, right.
And they didn't know what the bracket was going to be till that time. So now in the ensuing days, they have to be looking at, even though they'll tell you they can't look ahead. And, you know, having said that, yes, you got to win one game at a time. But you look down and you say, oh, gee, we could play Brookfield. Well, they may be able to stop our run, so we better figure out whether our passing game has had enough in-game experience, and that may be part of the cause.
With the big ends they got, I can't see why they wouldn't be passing more. That Derek Ott is a big target, and the other guys that they threw to, I mean, they just, you know, Luke Richards had some nice catches, 33 with the back, Derek Eastman, and he had 63 yards receiving.
My opinion, Richards has really come on this season from start to finish. He looks a lot more polished, and he had that really nice run on the 40-yard pitch catch there for him in the first half. So again, your final score, Giltner 66-3. We're going to have the Platte River Prep scoreboard show on our sister station, 98.9 FM, coming up probably in about 20 minutes. So if you want to catch a more comprehensive look around the state, you will have about, you know, obviously the C's and D's today, and then tomorrow the A's and B's, and we'll have the, tomorrow, by the way, we will have the Kearney, Creighton prep game on Classic Hits 98.9, and we're going to have that Hastings Tiger Aurora game on as well. Let me get you set up with that. Tomorrow, I have too many papers here, Gene. Okay, tomorrow, when the A's and B's, we've got Kearney and Creighton prep. 6:30 is the pregame kickoff at 7 o'clock. That'll be on 98.9 FM tomorrow. In Class B tomorrow, Hastings and Aurora. That'll be on KHAS AM and HastingsLink.com. That will be a 6 o'clock pigskin preview kickoff at 7 o'clock on KHAS. Tomorrow on KXPN, we have, let's see here. Tomorrow on KXPN, we have none. We don't have a football game. We got World Series action. No, we don't either. We have nothing tomorrow as far as football is concerned. On 1550, however,
We will have Adams Central at McCook. That is a 7 o'clock kickoff. And, of course, on KLIQ, we will bid you a fond adieu for 1 week and be back on November 3rd with the second round of the playoffs. And I'm thinking we're going to be back here at Gilder. How do we figure all this stuff out? Barely. But the reality is it involves, we've got 5 stations, we've got X number of area teams, and then we try and sort the times. So we would ask you, please, go to our website, kliqfm.com. We will have the games set up there probably within a day or so, so you'll have it well in advance of November 3rd, next Wednesday, to know where your teams are going to be broadcast. So, again, final score, 66-3. Gildner, Shellacken, Dorchester, and on to Brookfield next week. Hosting Bloomfield next week right here. They beat Clarkson by a 28-22 margin here just a little bit ago. And before we go, and I'm not trying to drag it out any more than you want me to, but I'm going to give you a few fresh scores here. And then we'll sign off. Norfolk Catholic beat Wayne 56-6. Loomis over Medicine Valley 26-0. Newman Grove 56, Shelby 20. That's a final. It was Eustace Farnham over Anselmo Myrna 46-14. Excuse me, that's after three. Blue Hill is leading Kearney Catholic 33-14. That is early fourth. I thought I saw that went to a final. But I'm not sure I can get down to it here. For some reason, my smartphone is acting stupid. But looked like Blue Hill was pulling away from Kearney Catholic in that regard. So we'll have a comprehensive look at the scores. 98.9 FM on the Platte River Preps. Gene, thanks so much for filling in. For Rob Osmond, who handled the pregame chores for us. Until next time, Craig Eckert. For Gene Beerbohm, final, Giltner 66, Dorchester 3. Have a great evening. Be safe. We'll see you next week. Your local sports favorites are here.